It was a nice junk in 12 months.
Off you go.
I probably would have won the award if it was available.
Thanks, Webby.
Thanks, boys.
I'm Kim Cartwright. A total fire ban for 35 districts in WA today, including the Midwest Gascoyne, Goldfields Midlands, Perth Metropolitan and parts of the South West. A full list at emergency.wa.gov.au. The federal government will unveil a $662 million package to enable the elderly to live in their homes for longer rather than move into aged care homes. The funding to be unveiled by Aged Care Minister Ken Wyatt will pay for 10,000 home care packages that provide a range of services including nurses and aides or personal services such as showering, gardening and meals. Mr Wyatt says the funding will be focused in two key areas.
Additional funding for aged care providers, which will enable them to expand and provide the level of service needed to senior Australians. And the other is the 10,000 additional home care packages that we'll be providing.
A Sydney truck driver has been charged with dangerous driving after the death of a cyclist on the New South Wales ACT border. The cyclist, a 49-year-old New Zealander, was allegedly hit by the truck yesterday morning and died at the scene. The 38-year-old truck driver will face Queanbeyan local court on March 25. A former New South Wales state minister has put her hand up to run for the Nationals in the highly contested federal seat of Gilmore. Katrina Hodgkinson was primary industries minister in New South Wales before retiring in 2017, but confirmed she wants to run against Liberal candidate Warren Mundine and Liberal-turned-independent Grant Shultz for the right to replace retiring Liberal MP Ansard Mullis. Ms Hodgkinson says she doesn't believe a National candidate will take votes away from the Liberals.
The Liberal Party and the National Party are a coalition, and so preferences, of course, will be very important, and we are always very careful with that sort of thing, particularly in any election. So I don't see that as an issue.
The tools being used to keep Australian children safe online are being reviewed, and the government is providing $10 million to help make them better. The review will look at existing tools, in particular the eSmart Digital Licence developed by the Alana and Madeline Foundation. It will also explore the best way to develop a competency-based program for educating children about online safety and what improvements are needed to current tools in use. Communications Minister Mitch Byfield said protecting children was society's highest obligation.
Kids' safety is an area that quite rightly should be beyond partisanship.
At least 70 people have died in India after drinking poisonous moonshine. More from the BBC's Ambarasan Etharajian.
Initial forensic reports suggested that the brew was laced with methanol. 8 suspected bootleggers have been arrested and the government has suspended dozens of local officials, including police. Illicit liquor has become a profitable industry across India, where bootleggers sell huge quantities, mostly to the poor. Deaths from illegally brewed alcohol are common because the poor cannot afford licensed brands. Activists say local corruption sustains the moonshine industry. Cheap bootleg alcohol is often spiked with chemicals such as pesticides to increase potency or flavour.
Also in news, a man is still missing in floodwaters in North Queensland, even as the rain eased and the sun came out with the monsoonal trough moving offshore. The ALP has claimed victory in two by-elections in South Australia in the seats of Cheltenham and Enfield. And Mountain Sounds Festival organisers on the New South Wales Central Coast have been accused of supplying police with incorrect information ahead of the event's cancellation. This is AIR News. The Cairns Taipans gave club champion Alex Loughton a fairy tale finish to his NBL career with a send-off 79-68 win over Brisbane Bullets. The Bullets are now relying on results to go their way to make the finals. They must beat New Zealand in the final round and hope Adelaide loses to both Melbourne and Perth in order to sneak into fourth position. Coach Andre Lamanis admits their fate is now out of their hands.
We're relying on Adelaide to lose one game. Now we're relying on them to lose two, and we've got to win next week. We had an opportunity to take care of business today and we weren't able to get that done.
Meanwhile, the New Zealand Breakers led from start to finish, winning 96-81 over a disappointing Illawarra Hawks. Pat Cummins and Usman Khawaja returned with a bang to help Sydney Thunder beat Hobart by 4 wickets in Canberra last night. It wasn't enough to boost their club into the Big Bash finals. Cummins, playing his first game for the Thunder in 2 years, dismissed in-form openers Darcy Short and Matthew Wade as the Hurricanes posted 4 for 165 from 19 overs. The Thunder needed to win the rain-affected clash in 11.3 overs to clamber into the top four and remain in the race for a finals berth. Co-captain Ellie Blackburn has led Western Bulldogs to a convincing 18-point AFLW win over Geelong at Witten Oval. Australian Independent Radio News.
Get behind Play for Purpose, Australia's new not-for-profit raffle. You could win big with $500,000 in prizes on offer in every raffle. Plus, $5 from every $10 ticket directly supports a local grassroots sporting club or charity of your choice. With Play for Purpose, it's a win-win. Tickets available online at playforpurpose.com.au. And please, play responsibly. New South Wales permit number GOCAU/2086.
The catalogue for the 2019 Melbourne Premier Yearling Sale is out now. 786 yearlings on offer from March 3 to 6 at a renovated Oaklands Junction. A new look venue, the same English passion. Catalogue available at inglis.com.au.
Got that sick feeling just thinking about how much money you owe? No money to enjoy life? If this sounds like you, then you should give Capital Debt Solutions a call for a confidential chat about combining your unsecured debts into just one weekly repayment tailored to your budget. That's a solution working for you. Focus on a debt-free future. You deserve it. Capital Debt Solutions. Solutions for your financial freedom. 1300 107 155 or capitaldebtsolutions.com.au.
Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Here's your hosts, Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Well, I got to say, it's a bleary-eyed start to this Sunday morning. I don't know why. I just think there's a you know, put your headphones on, Raymond. This is away. We're away on the radio show. This is live, buddy. I tell you what, you take 1 week away and just the rust starts to set in.
On air, yeah. Light starts flashing.
Yeah, there are. Panel operator Hamish is onto it straight away. Yeah, welcome back, Raymond. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend Edition. I believe it's a program you've hosted for just shy of 10 years. I might be over 10 years now.
Not quite.
Yeah. Okay, you've got the exact dates, have you? You can run through them a little bit later on, which will be fascinating. We'll look forward to that. For those people who don't know, Ray and Tanya spent time over in the West. How was the West of Australia?
Highly recommended. Haven't been there for a long time.
You used to live there.
When I was a young kid, over to Perth and spent some time at Crown Towers.
Yes.
Which was fantastic. Ducked over to Rottnest Island, which was great.
So. You're paying for the rooms at Crown Towers?
We certainly did. But really good. But good to be back. And as always, Jimmy, so much happening in sport. And yesterday morning, can I just say, unusual race day for me. Had to go via track work, so to speak.
Right.
To see Winx in preparation for her return in the Apollo Stakes next Saturday. She had an exhibition gallop on a racetrack where there was no race meeting yesterday at Royal Randwick yesterday morning, and big crowd turned up.
How
just
many?
To see her. I reckon about 700. Others said close to 1,000, but either way, it was a terrific concept because Chris Waller wanted to take Winx to the public, so to speak, give him a chance to sign autographs and meet the people behind Winx, and it went off really well, and more importantly, the great mare galloped impressively, and all systems go for next Saturday, Jim.
$1.15, she is for the Apollo Stakes. That is next Saturday. Trapeze artist there at $11. That's at tab.com.au. You actually had a friend during the week who rang me up and said, what are you doing on Saturday morning? You should take your family out to Royal Randwick and say, hey, boys, we saw Winx run.
There were young families out there with their kids, and Jamie Rogers was there with her little 16-month-old.
He could see
Winx. It was great. It was fantastic. And, as I said, all systems go for next Saturday.
Unfortunately for me, baseball got in the way. So
you had more important things to do with your kids.
Well, I had things to do, so wasn't able to do it. No, I'm not saying that it wasn't important. I'm not.
Are the boys listening?
I'd say no.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, Austin will be up watching, he'll be watching highlights of the Big Bash League.
Yeah.
And River will be watching Yu-Gi-Oh! And Avery will be still asleep. So that's just running in, along with the mother. 1353 is the open line number. You can get us on the SMS as well, 0419 767 272. We get a little bit excited about, well, the racing yesterday out at Warwick Farm, and we'll get to that very shortly. But we've got cricket going on at the moment, Big Bash League. Ray, why has there been Big Bash game and the Big Bash game and the Big Bash game, and then we had a four-day break? What happened?
You've got a theory for this, haven't you, James?
Well, I know. My kitchen rules came back. So,
Big Bash comes to a screeching halt.
What?
Yeah.
Monday night. Where's the Big Bash game? Tuesday night. Where's the Big Bash game?
My kitchen rules.
Wednesday.
Oh, dear. Do you watch My Kitchen
Rules? Manu and Pete, from all reports, are great ratings powerhouses. I don't watch it. However,
speaking of Big Bash, though, did you happen to catch Friday night's game, Brisbane Heat? Max Bryant and Ben Cutting. Max Bryant.
He's 19.
Young kid, he looks 19. About 12.
Yes,
is he the cleanest hitter you've seen since Adam Gilchrist?
He or Ben Cutting?
Well, Ben Cutting's just a bashathon, but Max Bryant's just such a clean hitter.
Yeah.
Oh, that was amazing. 150 odd in 10 overs. And
in 10 overs, exactly.
Incredible.
156. And they flipped the Big Bash League on its head because it had an impact on the Thunder, and they had to chase down their target last night in that revised innings in 11.3 overs. They couldn't do it, didn't go near it. They won the game, though. Against the Hobart Hurricanes. Hobart Hurricanes have a home semi-final. Sixers win today against the Stars. It's an afternoon match. Why?
Is it My Kitchen?
My Kitchen Rules is on tonight. So it's an afternoon match. If the Stars, well, if the Stars win that game, they qualify for the semi-finals.
Can the Sixers get a home final?
Oh, if the Sixers win, they get the home final.
That's it. Yeah.
We're all looking at net run rate around that one. Renegades are there. The Stars are there.
So that could potentially be the SCG next Friday night.
So Friday night, yes.
Yep.
Which brings us to the Indigenous All-Stars game, which is on Friday night as well, down at Amy Park. We're looking forward to that one. The two sides both look strong, don't they? They both look very strong. So
The Indigenous team's got a lot of strike power in the back line, haven't they?
A lot of strike power. No Greg Inglis, as we know. Josh Kerr, the youngster from the Dragons, who's been called in, hasn't played an NRL game. And Andrew Fifita is a key man for them in the Maori All-Stars. Jesse Bromwich up front will be very important for them. Jerome Hughes at halfback and Kalen Ponga at 5'8".
You were telling me he could have played for both teams.
Who's that?
Kalen Ponga.
No.
Oh.
Dane Gagai, I was saying. Could have played for both sides. So Dane Gagai is actually turning out for the Maori All-Stars. And I think that's because his mum is Maori. So he decided to choose that way.
Footy's
back. It was a very tough decision. So footy is back. We're going to have World Club Challenge and all that sort of thing. Charity Shield just around the corner. But, yes, the footy is back, so we're excited about that. Sydney FC were beaten on Friday night by the Brisbane Roar. That was a bit of a surprise. But
led 1-0 too.
But your Sydney Kings
were fantastic. Did you watch that game against Melbourne?
I just saw the highlights.
High quality, 97-85 for Kings. They've got a huge game this afternoon against Perth, in Perth.
And the alley-oops coming in from Andrew Bogut and Jerome Randall
was absolutely
outstanding to watch. So we're excited about that. Big show today, Raymond. We had a big show last week in your absence too. Yeah,
good,
it was
man,
fantastic. Yeah, no, really good.
Okay.
Got a lot of positive feedback.
What are you saying? My days are numbered?
Oh, please. We're going to have a chat with Glyn Schofield. We'll do the race replays as well. Have a chat with Glyn Schofield.
He'll be happy too,
Fiesta.
Not only winning on Fiesta, but Liverpool won overnight.
Bjorn Baker will be on as well. A couple of wins for him at home, Warwick Farm, including champagne cups. Over $1 million in prize money now. Mm. I think that's the thing that will most please Bjorn. Loves a dollar. We'll have the Richard Litt. Now, talk about Adam Scutt, life changer.
Life changer.
We've
yeah.
got Richard Litt, life changer, with Castelvecchio.
Yeah, extraordinary, great story. Did you see the race?
Yes.
Two lengths last at the 600.
What's going on? Flashed home.
It's unbelievable. It was a massive win, and he beat two high-quality two-year-olds in Accession and Dawn Passage. That was a terrific English millennium, the inaugural running of. And look, who's to say this horse isn't something quite out of the box? It was an unbelievable win. Richard Litt, just 29 years of age, Jim, has only 17 horses in work, only started training on his own 3 years ago, and here he is winning one of the richest races in Australian racing.
And now he's got a $15 chance in the Golden Slipper, run on the 23rd of March after being $101 before that race.
Castelvecchio. It's a castle in Italy.
Yes.
In Verona, northern Italy or something.
And Richard will be our China Doll feature racing interview of the day, so we can look forward to that one as well. We've got the events. So this is all the stuff we've got to give away here today.
Can you go through it?
Quite
incredible. I get confused.
Event cinemas quiz. Would you believe, Ray, in your absence, you actually lost?
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
So what's the score check now? Is it three? Am I still in front?
You're still in front, 3-2, but funnily enough, when you're not here, you lose. I found that out the hard way a couple of times. we'll have Richard lead on. But the things to give away today, we've got, for the best contribution throughout the course of the program, we've got the Wingman beer and the Winx book.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a fantastic combination, Wingman and Winx.
Like it.
That's for our best contribution throughout the course of the day, whether it be phone
SMS
call
or phone.
SMS, whichever way you want to do it.
Email.
Tweet? No, not email, right? We don't get emails. Haven't done for about 4 years.
Okay.
Anyway.
Take it down off that sign. But anyway, doesn't matter. Move on.
The long-time listener award will go. That's a $150 voucher courtesy of China Doll.
Great price.
Fantastic price. By the way, there's people working behind the scenes there looking to up that.
Up the ante, you think?
Up the ante, yeah. One good bottle of wine of China Doll, away you go. $150, we're trying to get that pushed up. Our people are working with their people in the back rooms, right?
Still a great prize.
Oh, no, magnificent prize. Magnificent prize.
$150 will go a long way for China.
What was our winner's name from last week? She was in Coffs Harbour.
Did she come down for it? Or
she will come down for it, though.
And it's worth it.
Absolutely.
China Doll, how good is it?
Going to drive down for it. So we've had some experience there, haven't we, Ray?
We've enjoyed our China Doll afternoons.
Absolutely.
We should try and... We didn't have our Christmas function.
No, we didn't. Mm. We got a little bit of money in the kitty too, by the way. Oh, well, there was. But anyway, I'm the treasurer.
Producer Steve, I think the money's gone.
No, the money's gone, but the memories are still there. So, Event Cinemas quiz.
Yeah.
And we've got Event Cinemas tickets to give away.
Outstanding. Prakash is back.
He's back, which is really exciting. Really exciting. $36 million for Brookvale. Oh, Zorba, I can almost hear you from now. So excited about it.
Have I heard this story before? No, seriously.
Every year for the last 32 years.
Will it actually happen?
Apparently. $20 million from the New South Wales state government, $12 million. And then it said $16 million from Manly and the federal government. I'm thinking, Manly will kick
in
about
100
grand. Manly will kick in 100 grand.
Yeah. Are these election promises that will actually come to fruition or not?
Oh, Ray, you doubting Thomas.
No, only because I've heard this story many times over the years. Not to say that it doesn't need it. Brookvale is overdue and should get a refurbishment because it's a rugby league stronghold. Look after that northern part of the city. But this story's been going around for years.
So we'll speak to Zorba about that. He'll bounce into this interview this morning after that news. We'll also have Brad Rosen on to talk about NBL and some NBA. Phil Moss will go through the A-League and the English Premier League. We're going to speak to Laurie Daly about the All-Star match we talked about already. And our legend of the game, stand by for this one, one of the highlights for me, G.D. McGrath.
What a player. Now, I heard that you were commentating with one said G.D. McGrath last night.
I was, yes, for a rival radio station working in the Thunder.
I can't mention that. No,
don't mention them. On the Thunder game last night, they won it. They needed to win it better than they did, or quicker than they did against the Hobart Hurricanes. So the Hobart Hurricanes go into their home final, and they're coming off the back of a loss. John Sutton has been granted a testimonial on the back of the testimonials that were played last year for Cameron Smith and Jonathan Thurston. He didn't qualify under some of the criteria that was set down previously by the NRL. He wasn't a state of origin player and he wasn't an Australian player. But he only played for the South Sydney Rabbitohs and he's played over 300 games and holds the game's record.
So what's your thoughts on that?
Absolutely no problem with it whatsoever. Case by case basis, John Sutton deserves a testimonial game. And if John Sutton, I don't know whether I haven't seen it, but if John Sutton was to come out and say, you know what, 50% of the money raised in this game I'm going to give to this hospital or Prince of Wales or whatever, I'm going to donate it back to my junior club or I'm going to do even better. Even get out there and buy a John Sutton testimonial T-shirt or jersey or whatever it happens to be that they're selling on the day.
Yep. Been a great servant for the club.
And fantastic.
Yep.
Fantastic. Actually, he was captain in 2014 when they won the premiership.
Yep.
So, premiership winning captain. So the fact that he gets a testimonial, I have absolutely no problem with. Also don't have a problem with Ricky Ponting joining the Australian side as assistant coach Justin Langer. I think no one's happier about that than Justin Langer.
What are you saying there? Well, get a person, Ricky Ponting's experience and his his sheer knowledge of the game.
Yes.
He's got to be an asset to any team, particularly the national side.
Especially those ones coached by Justin Langer. I think the bringing that information into the inner circle, I think
you have
is
no faith in Justin? We won a test series against Sri Lanka.
Well done, Pat Cummins, was player of the series. Mitch Stark comes back and gets 10 for with a torn pec, or whatever, he's got a pec injury,
he's
whatever
having,
it
he's
was.
Rest.
Yes, we did. We beat Sri Lanka, which was good. I think if you put out a strongest East cricket side of all time, they'd probably beat Sri Lanka the way they were going.
Yeah, they're pretty ordinary.
Do the 10 wickets against Sri Lanka, well, now are you all of a sudden back in form?
Bottom line is confidence for him, because he was down on confidence all summer, wasn't he? You can see it in his body language at times, Mitchell Stark. So to get two bags of FIFA is only going to help his confidence going into the Ashes. And let's face it, when he is bowling well, he's a wicket taker, he's a genuine match winner for Australia.
He bowled quick. He was quick in Canberra as well. So that was significant as well.
And the other thing too is, of course, looking ahead to the Ashes, the West Indies are toweling up the Englishmen. Aren't they? 2-0 the series. They're 4 for 157. Stokes is getting some runs at the moment. He's on 41, but what do we make of that?
It's a delight. Now, I mean it from the rise of West Indies cricket.
It's great. It's fantastic.
And the demise of English cricket. hopefully they continue going down the gurgler until about, I think it's all, the Ashes,
it's
of
late.
Course, is after the World Cup.
Yeah, it's
so it's late in that one. But yeah, keep your foot on the throat and keep going. West Indies, 13-53-53, the open line number. On Monday, we had the New England Patriots defeat the LA Rams 13-3 in the lowest scoring Super Bowl in history. But that meant that Tom Brady won his sixth ring from 9 attempts, and he is 41 years of age, which brings us to our talk topic today, Raymond.
Which is?
Old blokes and girls doing well.
Okay.
Old blokes.
Do you want to fire up?
And girls. Yeah, that's right, Tanya, you're quite right. Old blokes and Sheilas having a red hot crack.
Okay.
Who's Paul Gallen. Who on Friday night beat an even older bloke.
Yeah, that was awful anyway.
Anyway, he's 37 and he's going to roll around for another NRL season. So there you go.
But he's saying that the boxing training has actually extended his NRL career, because summer training, is, as you would be very well know, Jim, is pretty arduous. And as he's got older, he's found the boxing training has actually helped his fitness over summer.
Well, they've got a trainer down there who, off the top of my head, Anthony Gray, I think is his name. I think it's Anthony, Tony Gray. Anyway, he recognises that for a 22-year-old, the training you do for them is very different to the 32-year-old.
That's good. And the
37-year-old.
So, he's your nomination?
So Paul Gallen is my nomination. Oh, who you got, Raymond?
I went boxing too.
Yeah?
Oh, well, Paul Gallen's going to play rugby league though, isn't he, at 37? George Foreman. Made a comeback after 10 years
Yes, he did.
And won the world title, the World Heavyweight Championship, at the age of 45. Held it for a couple of years, too.
Sold millions of grills, too, during the course of that time.
Of course, probably most famous, of course, for that tremendous fight, Rumble in the Jungle. With Ali in 74 in Zaire.
You know, it was 4 o'clock in the morning, local time.
Was it 4 o'clock in Australian time? Or
a local time.
Oh, in Zaire.
In Zaire, yeah.
To go with the American TV.
Yeah. So
I can remember watching that fight. I think it was about lunchtime in Australia at school, and I convinced our teacher to put it on, and she did.
How old were you at that time?
10.
So you might qualify for
the Old Blokes.
Having a bit of a go. 13-53-53 is the open line number. We're going to take a break here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Afterwards, we'll be back with our race replays.
Don't forget, 9 a.m. Monday morning, Punters Post-Mortem with me, CK, the Duff, Dino and Glenn Munsey. A full wrap of a cracking Warwick Farm meeting with the baby stepping out in the $2 million endless millennium. And in Melbourne, it's the start of the Group 1, the CF4 Stakes. Punters Post-Mortem, Monday morning.
Witness sporting immortality at the Star Chinese Festival of Racing at Royal Randwick this Saturday. Be trackside as stakes racing in the world's best horse, Wings, return to Royal Randwick for the Star Apollo Stakes. Book now at theracers.com.au.
Punters, we bet you. You can't find a better betting app than the Tab app. With more live Sky Racing than any other app, exclusive race previews and the biggest range of race replays on offer, you have everything you need to give you the best betting experience all in the palm of your hand. Plus, enjoy access to detailed form, cutting-edge data and expert analysis from the best in the business. Download the Tab app today and stay ahead of the game. Tab. Terms and conditions apply.
apply.cat.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. 7:24 on your Sunday morning. Warwick Farm Racing yesterday, Jim. Big promotion into the meeting. I know there was a sale starting at the Inglis Complex on track there on last night.
Yes.
But the promotion for the Inglis Millennium and Inglis Sprint race day, I thought, was excellent. Over 6,000 race fans turned up at Warwick Farm.
And how did Warwick Farm handle 6,000 race goers?
Handled it well.
Okay.
If the listeners there want to ring up and tell us what their experiences were like,
yes,
let us know.
Happy to do that.
I thought the atmosphere, the vibe there was fantastic. It felt like a 15,000, 20,000 crowd at Randwick. It was fantastic. Just goes to show, if you're willing to invest in a decent race meeting at Warwick Farm, the public will come out.
But at what price? Is it at the price of a 12,000 crowd at Randwick?
Well, I don't think they would have got 12,000.
You've got to think of the opportunity cost.
Yeah, I don't think they would have got 12,000 at Randwick, but either way, I think it shows that the Warwick Farm has got a place for feature racing in Sydney, and it was a terrific race day yesterday. Great racing order. I'll kick off with Gem Song. Chris Lees has got a terrific stable of particularly young horses going into the Autumn Carnival. This colt's one of them, Gem Song.
To the straight, Sambar goes to a narrow lead now from Master Ash. Sambar hasn't really touched this yet, Abdullah. Now it's being pushed out at the 200 metres. Sambar just in front from Charge. Up the inside, Gem Song and White Out Purple Sector. Sambar charging Gem Song towards the rails. Gem Song's going home best. Really extended away, Gem Song. Beat the roughy Purple Sector. And I think Charge third in front of...
Righto, what's he going to do with Gem Song, Chris Lees?
Traditional three-year-old path, Hobartful Stakes next, then into the Randwick Guineas. I know he's among the entries for the Australian Guineas, but the Randwick Guineas is the initial Group 1 target for him. And, look, Jimmy, he was promising yesterday. He's a horse who handles wet or dry, had to go through the worst part of the track closer to the fence. Was still too good.
Very good. Chris Lee's picking up a few horses during the week too, or over
he
the
did,
course
yeah.
of the last week.
Brave Smash running second.
I know I've got to ask you, you're away. 4 years. Is that fair, lenient, excessive? Where do you sit on that?
I think it's about right, yeah. I know one of the three judges wanted 5 years, so 4 to 5 years. Either way, I think it's pretty much a career ender for Darren Weir. If he can come back from this, he will not be a major player. I think he'll be a small-time player.
He'll only be 53 or 52
Very
or 53.
Tough. Okay, I'll give you a point. Would you, as an owner, want to give your horse to Darren Weir, given what's happened?
So reputation besmirched.
Correct. Yeah, it's a long time for him to rebuild that, and whether he can ever get back, he won't get back to the strength and the size he was now. That's a given. Just how big a player he becomes, I think it's a long way back for him.
Given the nature of the cheating, how systemic it was, I think 4 years is a bit light.
That's a fair call. Now, I understand where you're
coming
from.
People say, oh, but he's got to earn a living. Well, that's fine. Don't cheat.
Yeah, no, 100%. Lot to come out of that saga, though, Jim, because the police investigation continues.
Yes.
I know the stewards are still investigating various aspects of the case.
Is the stewards investigating the betting, let's call them abnormalities?
All sorts of things like that, yeah.
The police are investigating the synthetic product that has allegedly been imported from China that they can't...
Amongst other things. Yeah, so there's a
when
lot...
When do the jiggers get a mention?
They've already got a mention.
Right.
This is what I'm saying.
Oh, he got 4 years. And all these different things.
It's extraordinary. And that's what I'm saying. There's a lot more to go out of this. Some people have criticised Racing Victoria for whacking the band, getting it sweeping under the carpet. No, they're not, because they're still investigating a lot more aspects of this case. They dealt with, essentially, the allegations about the jigger straight away.
Right.
Bang. Had to make a decision, had to be quick on the front foot with
so
it.
So the 4 years could be extended. If they go in through the course of their investigation, find more, they go, right, hang on, we're adding an extra 2 years for this, or
100%.
We might add extra 2 years
there's
for this.
There's a lot more to go. I'm not saying he's guilty of any more misdemeanors, but all I'm saying is a lot more to this saga to go in terms of investigations, both on the police side of the fence and also the stewards.
Good.
100%.
Good. Because if racing, you go to the races and you have a bet, you want to be able to, you want to be sure that you can...
All the things in racing, integrity is paramount. And, as I said, a lot more to go. Back to the racing on track, Jimmy.
Yes.
And Fiesta Clash with Esther Jarb was potential highlight of the meeting. It was. This was a great race in the Inglis Sprint.
of the straight. Esther Jarb just in front. Fiesta's starting a strong run on the outside. Esther Jarb a length clear. Mark Fiesta's winding up on the outside. And Fiesta goes up to join Esther Jarb. The two great fillies in a stoush. Fiesta and Esther Jarb. Esther Jarb's kicking back. Fiesta the outside. Goes home best though. And Fiesta wins the English sprint from Esther Jarb.
So Fiesta has a win, and we're going to have a chat with Glenn Schofield a little bit later on in the program. I'm just trying to think, road forward now for Chris Waller and Fiesta?
Okay, the surround stakes next. Group one for fillies over 1,400 metres, and then races like the Coolmore Classic and even the Legacy Stakes or the Queen of the Turf Stakes against the older mares, that and the Coolmore. She's a high-quality filly. Esther Jarb, first run since winning the Golden Slipper 11 months ago. Gee, she was brave in defeat. Remembering her barrier trial last week.
Lost the jock.
Lost Brenton Abdullah, so didn't have the perfect prep going into it.
She is $26 in the Newmarket market to be run on the 9th of March.
Potentially. I did ask Michael Hawkes, the program for Esther Jarb going forward, and to be fair, he said they just wanted to get through yesterday, given everything that's happened with that filly and the fact she's been unraced for so long, just to get her back to the races and to see her compete so well against the high-quality filly as Fiesta. I think both those three-year-olds are in for big autumns. On to the Breeders' Classic, Champagne Cuddle. She's been thereabouts for a year trying to win a good race. She got her chance yesterday and she delivered.
Turning for home, Cool Passion Alessio. Champagne Cuddles is chiming it on the outside. Champagne Cuddles moves up to Cool Passion. They beat off Alessio. Three further back to Egyptian Symbol who's trying. Champagne Cuddles gets a neck up on Cool Passion. They're veering down towards the fence, but Champagne Cuddles, too good. Champagne Cuddles ahead on the line to Cool Passion, who is brave.
So that was the win for Bjorn Baker. We're going to speak to Bjorn. He had a couple of winners yesterday too.
Sam Dowd won well as well.
At the home,
racing.
Home track, yeah. So we're looking for Champagne Cuddles in that Newmarket market, and there she is, $51.
Yeah, that's probably overs. I'm not sure she'll go that way, but we'll certainly ask Bjorn. I asked him yesterday what his plans were, and he also wasn't 100% sure where to go to next with Champagne Cuddles. Maybe overnight he's had a bit more of a think about it. So
what has he done overnight?
He went to the sales last night. What are you insinuating?
Well, are we guaranteed to get him today, Bjorn Baker?
He was adamant he'd be available for
was
us,
he? Okay,
as he always is.
It's a big, well, let's be honest, it's a big ad for them when they come on.
Oh, it is, yeah.
It is, isn't it? Gets a chance to sell themselves. Good friend of the program. Yeah.
Well, Richard Litt sold himself yesterday.
Oh, didn't he? What?
Young man on the rise in Sydney training ranks, and so's this horse. What a win. Castelvecchio in the English Millennium.
Top of the straight, Espana in front. Biscara goes up the inside from Blazing Miss, Lady Naturalist. Now Excessions letting rip of the big run. Dawn Passage in a traffic jam. Excession moves up to take the lead of the 200. Castelvecchio's coming with a big run wide out. It's Excession in front. Castelvecchio right over the top has come from last. Castelvecchio blew away Excession. Dawn Passage win clear third.
So, outstanding win for Richard Litt. Congratulations to him. Great ride, Josh Parr, as well. So, we look at the Golden Slipper in 6 weeks' time. And Castelvecchio now into $15. We mentioned it earlier. It was $101 before that race. Dawn Passage was there yesterday, $15. Accession also $15.
Very strong two-year-old race. We'll talk to Richard about his plans. He said yesterday he wasn't sure about the Golden Slipper because, Jimmy, that race doesn't count towards qualification.
Because it's a restricted race?
Yeah. I think they've got to look at that. I really do, because that's as good a two-year-old race as you've seen all season. The prize money doesn't count.
And yet the brooding would suggest it's a done deal, Colt.
Yeah.
It wouldn't suggest sprinting, right?
No. So he is a real surprise pack at this point.
Okay.
A tremendous win. He's a horse going places, and Richard thought maybe a race like the English Size on day one of the championship is more his go. But we'll
which is over 1,400,
and
right.
The Champagne's at 1,600. So yes. Highly promising. Don't Sack Accession. Didn't have the best of runs. He was very good. And Dawn Passage was a bit unlucky as well. No doubt the English Millennium was stronger than the Lonro Plate, the 2-2-0 races yesterday.
Yes.
Group 1 racing returned. Crawford had the first Group 1 of the new year. But early in the day, Rubiton Stakes marked the comeback of Nature Strip. Former Darren Weir sprinter, Jimmy, now with Chris Waller. He keeps
Voodoo
winning.
Lads a long way off the lead from Thermal Current into the straight at the 300 metres. And it's Nature Strip, 2.5 lengths in front of Jungle Edge. A Gap Illustrious Lad, Tavasan Voodoo Lad. Nature Strip goes for home. 150 metres to go. 3 or 4 lengths in front. The jock looks at the big screen. It's going going to bolt in. Nature's Trip, 3-4 Jungle Edge, and a real speed demon. Win number 9, Nature's Trip, cantered in. 3.5 Jungle Edge, Thermal Current, followed by Voodoo.
So there you go. CJ Waller now looking after Nature's Trip and confirming what we all thought, and that's a very fast horse.
He's a brilliant sprinter, isn't he? And just where he goes to, I'm not 100% sure, because Chris Waller's still obviously learning about the horse. What we do know, Jimmy, he's a brilliant sprinter over a short course, Nature's Trip. On to the first Group 1 of 2019, the CF4 Stakes. Jim, have you heard of Manuel?
The waiter, yes.
Here's Manuel with a racehorse.
Ossendale, the fence, then Redkirk, Warrior, 50 Stars, Shillelagh, Manuel and Holbein into the straight at the 300. Whispering Brook, the outside, Brave Smash running on. Further back is Kemantari with Every Hope. And then Best of Days, Brave Smash after Manuel at the 200. Manuel kicking, followed by Brave Smash, Kemantari. And then came Land of Plenty. Manuel's kicking. It's still Manuel. Manuel has won it. It is a blowout. Wonders will never cease. Has beaten either Land of Plenty or Kemantari, then Best
okay. Kemantari. He was good, Kemantari. All-star mile for Manuel.
All-star mile. Oh, by the way, just going back to Nature's Trip, a $15 chance for the TJ Smith in the tab.com.au market. And just on the all-star mile market, you mentioned Manuel. Okay. And looking for Manuel in that market. They're all there. Top of the market is Elise at $4.50. And trying to find Manuel, they're at $26. Mm. There you go.
Shaping up okay. He was good yesterday. Kemantari, I thought, was good in his return. He'll improve off that.
Every chance.
He did, to be fair. Not sure about the format of the race, but I know Tony McAvoy has a big opinion of Manuel, and at least he's now a Group 1 winner.
There you go. Very exciting for him. 13.53, he's got to be in races in Victoria just to earn a dollar. And there's no money in South Australia. 13.53.53 is the open line number. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with calls. We've got our talk topic today. We've got great stuff to give away, Wingman and Winks and everything in between. Just before we get to that, Michelle from Dubbo is sending an SMS. Welcome back, Raymond. First up after a spell, the world is now right. Dubbo, the only place to be today, kicking off the country championships. So absolutely, get out to that one, Michelle. Can't get to China Doll after the races. Might have to go to the Hinghua. I'm not sure what the Hinghua is like.
Local Chinese.
Yes. I don't know what the Hinghua is like. However, I'm going to go on record as saying the food is not as good as that China Doll.
Jeez, you're a tough one.
I know,
Michelle,
and I've never been
Michelle's
there.
Given it a wrap, so that's good.
Michelle, can you give us a rating on the Curry King prawns, please?
Can I just, before we go to an ad break, Jack from Old Bar?
Yes.
I love this. Old bloke's having a go. James Howard Marshall II, at the age of 89, he married a 26-year-old Anna Nicole Smith. The cynical in this world accused her of marrying for money.
Gotcha.
14 months later, he was dead. Now, that is the definition of an old bloke having a go, yeah. Jack from Old Bar.
The Polytrack Provincial Championships are back. Experience Sunday racing at its finest at Hawkesbury Race Club's first provincial qualifier on Sunday, February 24. Featuring live music, kids entertainment and great prizes. Treat your family to a fun day at the races. Catch the train and hop off at Clarendon or park for free. Entry only $10. Free for ATC members, children, concession card holders and TAB Rewards members. Details and bookings at hawkesburyraceclub.com.au.
Got that sick feeling just thinking about how much money you owe? No money to enjoy life? If this sounds like you, then you should give Capital Debt Solutions a call for a confidential chat about combining your unsecured debts into just one weekly repayment tailored to your budget. That's a solution working for you. Focus on a debt-free future. You deserve it. Capital Debt Solutions. Solutions for your financial freedom. 1300 107 155 or capitaldebtsolutions.com.au.
And now for the most exciting 2 minutes in sports.
The very best of U.S. racing 7 days a week.
Looking at Lee, can't catch, always dreaming, who's the 143rd winner of the Kentucky Derby.
Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
That's it. New South Wales win their 20th Women's National Cricket League title.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Another title for Elise Perry there, who next year is going to be playing
Victoria.
For...
Victoria, yeah.
I can barely say it. Why would she go and do that? The different Victorians.
Mm.
Genuine weirdos. Just on that, we'll speak to Trent Lanscale a little bit later on in the program as well.
Our one Victorian listener.
Our one Victorian
he
listener.
He might sack us too after that.
Cliff Young, 61 years of age, in 1983, won the inaugural Sydney to Melbourne from Hunter Valley Mick. Good on you, Hunter Valley Mick.
Yeah.
I've forgotten about that. Ray, are DK Weir's track work riders under questioning from stewards? They are licensed people using the jiggers. That's from Dibby.
All-encompassing
All
inquiry.
Encompassing. Okay. All right. We'll keep going with that. Let's go to the open line now. John is on the line. G'day, John.
How are you, buddy?
Yeah, really well, mate. What do you got for us?
Mate, I've got one.
Yeah.
G.W. Grace, the cricketer, England cricketer.
Yeah.
He was about, I think he was in his mid-50s or something like that when he captained England.
I think probably related to W.G. Grace.
Yeah, W.G. Grace, you mean. No, he was
W.G. Grace.
That's
yeah,
him, yeah.
Yeah,
you know, he was definitely still playing first-class cricket at the very least into his 50s, as was Jack Hobbs, by
Dr.
memory.
Grace?
Yeah, Jack Hobbs was still scoring hundreds at about 52.
Captain, I thought he might have been captain of England when he was in his 50s, but I'm not too sure about that.
We will look that one up, but it's a good nomination.
Yeah,
one of the early superstars of sport,
you could have to say.
W.G. Grace. William Gilbert?
There you go. I didn't know what his name was. William Gilbert, W.G. Grace. Okay.
William Gilbert.
When did he last play for England?
That's an excellent question, Raymond.
Walt's looking that up. Why don't we go to our next call? Peter's on the line. Peter, good morning. I think Peter's sacked us, is he? Peter, you there?
No, we're on hold with Peter, I think. So just trying to work out how old W.G. Grace was. Born in 48 and played his last test in 1899. So what's that? He's 51.
Yeah, 51.
There you go. Played his last test match at 51.
Gee, and as I said, Jack Hobbs, I think, was still scoring first-class hundreds. I think he's got 199 first-class hundreds. I think he scored his last one at 50 or 51 years of age.
One of the Wisden cricketers of the century.
He was Sir Jack Hobbs.
Who were the five Wisden cricketers of the century?
Bradman. Was Warne one of them?
Yes.
Yeah. Hobbs, Bradman, Warne, Sobers?
Yes.
Who's the fifth one?
West Indian.
Viv.
Yeah.
Yeah.
RVA. Yeah. Let's go to the open line. Rod's there. Hello, Rod.
Jimmy.
Yeah, Rod.
How are you, mate? What's happening, champion?
Look, I tell you what, I'm trying to host a radio program. How are you going?
You're counting your dollars, mate. It's more than English.
Oh, God. Hang on, mate. Don't listen to Ray Thomas. He gets in here and he starts spruiking that sort of stuff.
Jimmy, we all know you got 25 jobs, mate.
Oh.
The tax man loves him, Rod.
Anyway, you can chase him, too.
What's that?
Anyway, you can keep tracing in tow, isn't it?
Oh, I try and keep tracing in tow is the way we go about
it. Talking about old warrior, is he? I'm going to be able to burn it off him.
Yeah, he was older than older than George Foreman, actually. He's the oldest.
48 years of age, world champion.
He was. He's the oldest to hold a world championship.
Who are we talking about?
Bernard Hopkins.
Oh, Bernard Hopkins.
The executioner.
The executioner, yeah.
That's all I've got, really. Other than Paul Gallen. He's amazing, that bloke, isn't he?
Well, it is incredible that he is... Okay, yeah, he's boxing, but the fact that he's going to run around for another league season, he plays long minutes, he plays in the middle of the field, and he's going to be turning 38 years of age. Rod sounded like he was in the beer garden there. And to be honest, if someone said he was...
He probably was.
Wouldn't be surprised.
This one's from Bryce. Morning, gentlemen. Can't go past 11-time world champion surfer Kelly Slater. Will be competitive again this year at the ripe old age of 46. Also played in this week's Pebble Beach Golf Pro-Am. I wonder how he went in the Pro-Am.
We'll have a look
Kelly
at that.
I think Jason
Day's going pretty well in that one. We'll get a sports update with Tanya a little bit later on during the course of the program. Let's go back to the open line. And Peter is there. G'day, Pete.
Hello, how are you?
Really well, mate.
Peter?
They play rugby till he's nearly 50, Sluggo Miller, and he played for
Manly.
Manly first, and he went to the Rats up at Warringah Rats.
Oh, okay.
Tony Slaggy Miller, is that?
I think he's gone nearly at his 50th birthday, and they had to pension him off, and he was very late in his 40s, anyway.
Is he?
And Archie Moore, he won a world title.
Yeah, he was 46, I think, by memory, Archie Moore. I'll check on that.
He used to eat five chickens in a city.
Archie Moore.
In a city.
Yeah.
Archie
wow.
Moore. Yeah.
And whatever. I think it was at 46 or a tour of Australia by England. Jack Iverson played the last test. He had fingers off, and he was well in his 40s, playing his first test.
Jack Iverson. Okay,
Didn't Bert Ironmonger play, make his test debut in his 40s?
Oh, I think you're right, yeah.
Yeah, 46.
46?
My memory, yeah.
Yeah.
Bert Ironmonger.
So there you go. I don't know where you'd field him in the Big Bash, but anyway. Poor old, like, Farwood Ahmed last night. Well, right, we'll hide him at backward square.
They found him.
Can we hide him at short third man?
Anywhere.
No. All right, we'll put him out on the deep square leg boundary.
Didn't work either.
Poor old Farwood Ahmed. Anyway, tough times for him, 13:53:53.
We've got Glenn Scaiford on the line, and there's a couple of reasons why I want to talk to Glenn. One about Fiesta, two about Liverpool, but we'll talk horse racing first. Glenn, good morning. Thanks for joining us. And, gee, that was a great race to watch yesterday, Fiesta v Esterjab, and your filly just too good on the day.
Yeah, morning, Ray. Yeah, we had a great race yesterday. And, of course, those two classy fillies fought out and finished for quite some way, and, of course, Fiesta proved too strong at the end.
First up from the spell, Glenn, and I guess there was a little bit of concern. Might have been a little bit soft up the front, but did you ever get a feeling that, uh-oh, I'm in a bit of trouble here?
Look, yeah, exactly with the speed of the race, I saw Brenton obviously out leading, and obviously I was hoping someone to apply a bit of pressure to him, which he didn't get, and it seems that he was going to have a slipper sort of run all over again. But I had to be mindful, and I popped out a little bit earlier than I wanted to if the speed was really strong, and I just sort of strode around Mizzy's heels and got to her outside and just made sure that I was in full flight. If Brenton did sort of skip away, I wasn't still locked away. And when I did join him up, Esterjab gave a good kick as well. So then it became evident I was going to be in it for a bit of a tough fight. But I think obviously the length of time she's had off may have told in the end. But at the same time, she did have a lead up front, but credit to Fiesta in her strength and quality shone through at the end.
Exactly. On to the surround stakes now, then potentially Coolmore Classic, etc. Some good Group 1s up for grabs for Fiesta. Hey, Glenn, I was going to ask you about, I mentioned to Jimmy earlier that the vibe at Warwick Farm yesterday was fantastic. Just over 6,000 there. The meeting was well promoted. It drew a really good crowd, and I'm sure there's more upside there when the ATC invest in Warwick Farm as a Saturday meeting. What was it like as a jockey to ride there yesterday?
Well, first and foremost, it was great to have an atmosphere at Warwick Farm. To see that stand with people in it is something that we don't see often at all. So to have a vibe and see some new faces at the race was fantastic too. A good crowd as well, as you said. And that's what racing is all about. If you've got another venue that can bring the public of that area to the races, it's great for our sport. And it's fantastic that Racing New South Wales, the Australian Turf Club and Inglis together have made that venue hopefully what it can be in the future.
They say athletes respond to crowds. I reckon you can see it. You can certainly, at the ground, and you can see it coming through the television when there's a big crowd in a venue that the players feed off that. Is it the same for the jockeys?
I think so. You definitely feel the added vibe that people at a venue bring. There's no doubt about that. Of course, once you get in the race, you can't really feel or sense that vibe, especially unless you're on a Melbourne Cup or an Everest day.
Yeah,
are very different. But if you only got a handful of people in the stand, it does have a very hollow feeling about it when you're going out to ride, especially when there are some good races on the day and they're not really that well supported with the public that are actually on there on the day. So it was great to be at Warwick Farm with a big crowd, and I hope that the powers that be can keep that not just for one day a year.
Glenn, this is a broader question, and that is, you guys are elite sports people and need to manage your time and your bodies and the calendars as they approach. When do you take time, or how do you take time and pull back and look at these? Because there's day after day after day of racing. When do you pull back and have a look at it and say, right, this is how I'm going to plan my year? And I know sometimes it can be unplanned because of a good horse that comes through and you want to follow that horse. But do you take time to do that? When do you do that?
Good question. It's very hard to do at the moment because the carnivals just seem to roll. There's never really much of a time of the year where you get off. I like to do at the end of the winter carnival in Brisbane and take some time off, and then before we start again in spring.
Right.
That seems to be a good time to go away. Of course, there's the summer as well. But then, of course, you've got the lead up coming into Magic Millions, which can be difficult to miss. But the carnivals are so important now, and they come around quicker than ever once the other one is finished. So there's not a great deal of time. And, of course, with suspensions on top of that, you can't really plan. Yeah. If you want to take a holiday, most of the time we just take a bit of a holiday once we're given one from the stewards.
Exactly, yeah. Which is,
hey, honey, pack your bags, we're off.
Exactly.
I tell you what, that's exactly what it's like. Get on the phone to the wife on the way home from Razor's Hour. I got 2 weeks, let's go away somewhere.
Let's book the plane, yeah. I know what you do. You do plan your weekends around Liverpool games. Were you up at 2 o'clock this morning for the Bournemouth clash, Glenn?
I was.
How'd they play? 3-0?
3-0, good game. Could have been, as Liverpool, it could have been 5 or 6. But look, it's great to get for Liverpool get back on winning ways after 2 draws through the week. Still only the 1 loss through the season, back on top of the pile. So I had a lot of mates chirping that we'd choked and the bubble's been burst already. But nice to get back to winning ways anyway.
Exactly. Yeah, Man City play Chelsea tomorrow morning at 3 o'clock, so they could potentially join Liverpool back on 65 points. But they're 3 points in front at the moment. Hey, Glenn, look, fantastic win with Fiesta yesterday, and that hopefully sets up a good autumn carnival for you. And as always, you've made time for us on a Sunday morning. We really appreciate it, Glenn, and thanks again, mate.
My pleasure.
Oh, by the way, Glenn.
Yeah.
Yours to lose, Liverpool, just to let you know.
Don't say that.
Yours to lose, mate.
I think I've said it before in the show. There's only 2 teams that have been on top at Christmas and haven't gone on to win the Premier League. Both times has been Liverpool.
That's correct.
I hope this is not the third time. Maybe third time. Like,
as a Manchester United fan, who, by the way, are finishing with a wet sail.
You are, yeah.
Wow, are they what?
Yeah.
They're actually our next game, Man United.
Ooh. Where at?
Old Trafford.
Oh, yuck.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Can you do
actually,
an outside broadcast?
Funnily enough, we are thinking about taking the show on the road to Old Trafford. Yeah, we're thinking about it.
Well, if you're doing that, you're taking me with you.
Yeah, hey, that is a bucket list item,
yeah,
isn't it?
What?
Liverpool v Man United at Old Trafford.
Can you imagine that? You've got some forward management. Can you pull that one off?
Yeah. We'll be here next Sunday. Let me assure you of that. 13:53:53. Thank you, Glenn Schofield. We're going to take a break. After the break, we'll come back with more, including the scratchings around New South Wales.
Punters, we bet you. You can't find a better betting app than the Tab app. With more live Sky Racing than any other app, exclusive race previews and the biggest range of race replays on offer, you have everything you need to give you the best betting experience all in the palm of your hand. Plus, enjoy access to detailed form, cutting-edge data and expert analysis from the best in the business. Download the Tab app today and stay ahead of the game. Tab. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
Your family deserves to be safe and secure at home. That's where Wideline Windows and Doors can help. Their secure line screens offer security without compromising on design or your view. And their safe line window screens are designed to prevent falls, keeping your youngest family members safe and sound. For security, safety and peace of mind, call Wideline Windows and Doors. Or visit their website at www.wideline.com.au.
Here on the outside, getting to them quickly, and further out is Hawk Island. Hawk Owl got them all. Hawk Owl has beaten Henson here out third, possibly Studley Christian.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. Jimmy, update from Michelle from Dubbo. Not sure about the curried prawns, Jimmy, but I generally sidestep any seafood. But the Shoshquan combination, sans prawns, is quite tasty. And
right. Surely
jockey Robert Thompson gets a thumbs up for old bloke set of having a red hot crack. What a career he has had. Robert Thompson, he's getting close to 60 now, I think.
What's
60?
What's that combination that Michelle...
Is it Shoshquan? I can never pronounce it properly.
It's something like that. I don't know.
It's sort of a spicy...
Szechuan.
Okay.
But we're hearing from producer Steve, so...
I'll go with producer Steve. Szechuan. All I know is it's spicy and I'm no good with spicy food.
I'll have the combination, thanks.
Yeah.
I'll have number 32.
Whatever it is.
I'll have number 32, thanks. I'll tell you who will know. Yeah, Baker. He loves that sort of stuff, yeah. It wouldn't surprise me if he was at the local Chinese last night.
think he's at the sales. Or
oh, was he? Sorry.
He's on the line. Bjorn, good morning.
Morning, guys. Yeah, Dave, some a lot of good Chinese, particularly at Cabramatta. Some good places there. Great to hear from you, Ray. I was just sure you're going to start the show a little bit later. Does that change? I thought you moved up in the world and you're going to be like a mainstream hours, but it's still prior to 8 o'clock.
Mate, we describe this as mainstream hours, mate. Yeah, you there still, Bjorn? Oh, Bjorn, we've lost Bjorn. So.
No, we haven't.
Oh, sorry, he's still there.
Hey, Bjorn.
I can't hear. I can't hear anybody.
Hey, Bjorn, I reckon you'll hear me now. Champagne Cuddles. I know she's a stable favourite, and it was her race to lose yesterday. She showed her class winning the Breeders' Classic.
Yeah, it was great. Great to watch. She's been a very special filly. She's not the biggest, but she's all heart, and she tries her hardest. And it was a big day at Warwick Farms. It's always great to do it on your home track. And she went over $1 million. She won a Group 2. And it was a pretty special day. If you knew her, she's just an absolute pleasure to train. Those are the horses that, as a trainer, that make you look good. You don't have to change anything. You don't have to do anything different. But she's a really good mare.
So genuine, I think, was the quote from you today in the newspaper about Champagne Cuddles, running in Group 1s and running well in Group 1s. And some horses get impacted by that negatively, but clearly not the case for Champagne Cuddles, Bjorn.
Must have been a lot of good pictures in the paper. Can you actually... Did they actually quote me on that, Jimmy, did they?
Well, I think Ray made it up, to be honest. He was trying to get something legible out of you.
What are you saying?
Oh, well, I'll tell you what, by the sounds of it, and this is what happens when we have people on after wins, and especially Bjorn, by the sounds of it, we could have got anything out of him at about 10:30 last night, I'd have thought.
No, it was the sales last night, very important time as a trainer. You've got to rearm and restock, and you can't train empty boxes, so... The Warwick Farms really become the centre of the universe. When I first went to Warwick Farms 7 years ago, now all Sydney rotates around Warwick Farms. Did you know that?
Oh, actually, on that theme then, Bjorn, we were just talking to Glenn Schofield and we were talking about the atmosphere, the vibe yesterday. I mentioned to Jimmy earlier, the ATC did invest in that meeting and I think the results are there, that there is an appetite for Sydney, for good Sydney Saturday racing at Warwick Farm.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's always, I'm biased. It's my home track. I train there. I've got to put the place up. But I think I like the track. I've had a lot of luck there, and yesterday was a great day. So it's funny how it works out.
Did you spend up big last night, other people's money?
I only bought one, and I need to find a lot of owners. And I'm only a little battler, and I've got a lot of empty boxes at the moment, so I'm always hungry for horses, Jimmy. And hungry for new owners, so I think Ray's going to take a share. And he said, if I'm polite to you this morning, I might be able to get you in one.
Which one?
Anything.
Anything.
A lot of different. I got short, skinny, fat ones.
They're
all colours, great.
That's a hell of a sales pitch you've got.
Whatever you want to be in, we've got it, Jimmy. You actually, I could just about sell you anything.
I reckon you could. Ice to the Eskimos, you.
Well, just quickly, I reckon, Bjorn, if you got another Samadout to sell, I reckon Jimmy would be doing that for sure, because he's won three city races this prep, and it's no mean feat, and he was terrific yesterday.
Yeah, it's funny how things go. He's really he ran in the Breeders' Plate as a 2-year-old. He's still going now. And sort of at times he's sort of been up and down. And he's those sort of horses as a trainer that you really can't underestimate them. He sort of backs up every second Saturday for the last year and a half and last few years. And he's been really tough, so... He was super yesterday, and there's nothing like a front runner and getting it roll. So, no, he capped off a really good day.
Bjorn, we'll let you get back to bed.
He's bet the sales.
What bed? What do you mean, bed? I haven't had a shave yet.
Mate, congratulations on the couple of winners yesterday. Good luck with that sales pitch, and we'll look forward to chatting to you again in the future.
Is this where do I send the invoice?
You can send it. You can send it.
Your email address.
By all means, send it.
We'll talk off air, Bjorn. Don't worry, mate. Hey, thanks for your time, Bjorn.
See you guys.
See you, mate.
Thanks so much.
Bjorn Baker, a couple of winners there at his home track at Warwick Farm. Time for the scratchings around New South Wales. We say good morning and welcome back to Tanya.
Good morning and a big day at Dubbo today. We also have New South Wales racing at Taree. Let's start with Dubbo. The weather is fine. The track are good for the rail true. Penetrometer 3.9 and 25 scratchings. Race 1, takeout number 3, a cropped pick. 7, Platina. 10, a lot of fox. 14, the truck. And 15, Alpine Royal. 3, 7, 10, 14 and 15. Race 2, number one, I Am Magnificent. And 6, Bell Blaster, 1 and 6. Race 3, takeout 15, Flirt Deux. 16, Thursday's Star. 17, Augusta in April. And 18, The Exchequer. 15, 16, 17 and 18. Out of race 4, number 3, Huey. And 6, Gaze Beyond, 3 and 6. Race 5, number 1, Living Choice. And 2, Blue Collar Boy, 1 and 2. Out of race 6, number 2, Bel Diablo. 10, Leap of Legend. 11, El Rey Dorado. 16, Grassmere Flyer. 17, Royal Abbey. And 18, Reddy's Queen. 2, 10, 11, 16, 17 and 18. And race 7, the Country Championship Qualifier. Take out 15, Recital. And 16, The Iceman. 15 and 16 from race 7. And race 8, number 8, Star of Suzu. And 16, Incision. 8 and 16 from race 8 at Dubbo. To Taree, the weather is fine. The track a good 3, the rail true. And 13 scratchings. Race 1, number 5, Thornbrook. 8, Last Ace. 15, Comes and Goes, and 18, Le Fabergé, 5, 8, 15, and 18. Out of race 2, number 3, Manhattan Gambler, 6, Niatros, and 11, Tears He Cried, 3, 6, and 11. Out of race 3, number 3, Black Range, and 8, Private Client, 3 and 8. Race 4 is clear. Race 5, number 2, Hildalgo, and 6, Savini, 2 and 6 from race 5. Race 6, take out 1, Buddy's Ode, and 7, Good Excuse, 1 and 7 from race 6. And race 7 at Taree is clear. Raymond.
Thanks, Tan. Country Championship Qualifier Dubbo today, big meeting.
Yeah.
I think the best bet there, race 4, number 1, Healing Hands for Gaynor Williams, into the Country Championships Qualifier. I think the top weight, a Martin Place pick. TAB number 1 is the horse to beat race 7 in the Dubbo Country Championship Qualifier. Big race day there at Taree today, at Dubbo today. At Taree this afternoon, Jim. Race 2, number 7, Equisetta.
Mm-hmm.
Into race 4, number 1, Great Danger.
There you go. And I went past Taree on the way to the Gold Coast, which was interesting. I hadn't been up that part of the world before. It was fantastic. 13:53:53. Just before we go to the news break, first question in our China Doll Longtime Listener Award. You've got to get all three questions. They'll be asked throughout the course of the show. First up, who did Glenn Schofield get up to watch at 2 o'clock this morning? Time for the news. After that, we'll be back with more, including Zorba.
I'm Kim Cartwright. A total fire ban for 35 districts in WA today, including the Midwest, Gascoyne, Goldfields, Midlands, Perth Metropolitan and parts of the Southwest. Serpentine National Park and Avon Valley National Park are both closed today due to fire risk. Full details at emergency.wa.gov.au. The government will unveil a $662 million package to enable the elderly to live in their homes for longer rather than move into aged care facilities. The funding will pay for 10,000 home care packages that provide a range of services, including nurses and aides, or personal services such as showering, gardening and meals. Today's announcement comes as the first hearings of the Royal Commission into Aged Care are set to begin tomorrow. Aged Care Minister Ken Wyatt says there will also be more money allocated for home care supplements for dementia.
Meet the additional costs for caring for people with moderate to severe dementia. It'll assist their families and carers. We'll have a focus on veterans. That support eases the pressure on families.
Millions of Australian workers are being warned they can't trust their payslips when it comes to superannuation. New research has found nearly three quarters of workers mistakenly assume super contributions on their payslip have actually been paid into their super account. However, Chief Executive of Industry Super Australia, Bernie Dean, says some employers are taking advantage of a loophole which allows them to pay only on a quarterly basis.
Most employers are doing the right thing. We've got to remember that. But there are some employers that are holding on to those amounts of money that should be going into workers' super accounts. And we believe that by aligning payment of super with the payment of wages, those businesses actually would be better off because they wouldn't be caught owing large sums at the end of a quarter.
Tony Abbott is in danger of losing his seat of Warringah to independent candidate Sally Steggall, according to a recent poll. The Olympian is leading the former Prime Minister 54-46% on a two-party preferred basis, according to a ReachTel poll commissioned by activist group GetUp and published in the Sunday Herald and the Sunday Age. In the poll, 60% of the residents canvassed rated Mr Abbott's performance as a local member as poor, and 78% of those who had voted for him previously said they would vote for someone else. A Thai political party says it will comply with the wishes of the king and accept that his elder sister cannot be a prime ministerial candidate. More from the BBC's Jonathan Head.
After unusually blunt criticism from King Wachira Longkorn, the Thai Raksachart party had no choice but to accept his instruction that members of the royal family cannot be brought into politics. That ends a bold gambit by the anti-military coalition to boost its popularity and insulate itself against charges of being anti-monarchy. It may also now strengthen the military government's prospects of extending its power past next month's election.
Also in news, the cave divers who rescued a Thai football team have written to Thailand's Prime Minister asking him to free refugee footballer Hakim Al-Arabi from prison. The New South Wales government will shake up the way high-rise residential towers are constructed in a bid to rebuild trust in the industry after the Opal Tower debacle. And a 19-year-old from Innaloo in WA has pleaded guilty to selling fake concert tickets, scamming over 100 people out of $10,000. She'll face court on multiple charges next month. This is AIR News. Reigning AFLW Premier's Western Bulldogs downed newcomers Geelong by 18 points at Witten Oval last night. The Dogs snatched the lead early in the second term on the way to a 5-4-34-2-4-16 victory. Co-captain Ellie Blackburn was sensational with 18 disposals, 8 tackles and a goal. An inaccurate Geelong were handed a reality check after defeating Collingwood in their first game last week. Star recruit Phoebe McWilliams made an ideal start in her Cats debut, slotting a cool set shot from 30 metres out for the first goal of the match, but the former GWS key forward, who missed last week with hamstring issues, missed two gettable third quarter chances to finish with one goal, two behinds. Champions, the Czech Republic, have split their opening Fed Cup singles matches with Romania. Australian Open semi-finalist Carolina Pliskova won the first point for the Czechs after easing past Mihaela Berzinescu 6-1, 6-4. But Simona Halep won the second singles against Katerina Siniaková 6-4, 6-love. Pliskova and Halep, both former world number ones, will meet in the key first reverse singles. Meanwhile, Belarus led Germany 2-love after wins to Alexandra Sasnovich and Arina Sabalenka. Australia's track cycling endurance stars have capped their World Championships preparation at the inaugural Melbourne six-day event. Victorian pair Lee Howard and Kellen O'Brien won the men's category on the very last sprint of the event at Melbourne Arena when they took out the one-hour Madison, while in the women's, Australian star Annette Edmondson dominated, followed by teammate Alex Manley. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you'll have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Pinot Grigio. By De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
Major road closures at the Wentworth-Bodney intersection at Mascot this weekend. Diversions are in place. Follow signs and allow extra travel time. Visit livetraffic.com. In Parramatta, we've got lights flashing on the Great Western Highway at Pitt Street. In Kurnell, the speed limit has been reduced to 60 k's on Captain Cook Drive for the cycle event that's on today. And in French's Forest, we've got eastbound lane closures on Warringah Road between Fitzpatrick Avenue and Hilmer Street for roadworks until 10 this morning. Kmart has dropped prices on even more products, and they are here to stay. Head in store for incredible value across homewares, apparel and toys for the whole family. See website for details. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Witness sporting immortality at the Star Chinese Festival of Racing at Royal Randwick this Saturday. Be trackside as stakes racing in the world's best horse, Winx, return to Royal Randwick for the Star Apollo Stakes. Book now at theracers.com.au.
Dynamics Indications invites you to join Jerry Harvey and Kieran Maher Racing in a high-quality yearling filly. Buy Zoostar, the hottest young sire in Australia, champion first crop sire and now leading second crop sire. Our filly is from Danehill mare Moonflute, a Group 3 winner and Group 1 placed. Join Dynamic Jerry Harvey and Kieran Maher Racing in this fabulous filly at $12,885 per share. For info, visit dynamicsindications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360-808.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney today, sunny Sunday for Sydney siders. Winds southwesterly 15 to 20 k's, shifting east to southeasterly in the early afternoon, becoming light in the evening. 0% chance of any rain in Sydney today. Jimmy, heading for a top temperature of 25 degrees. What's the current temperature in Des Moines and the forecast for Dubbo?
Presently 19 degrees in Des Moines, and for Dubbo today, a sunny day, a maximum of 29 degrees.
So they'll be on 0 points. Here, meanwhile, is Hardacre. He gives it then to Farrell, and that's a good Wigan side. Excellent stuff from the champions.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Welcome back to the program. The second hour now, Zorba very shortly. Richard Litt, congratulations to him. An outstanding one with Castelvecchio. Now, a $15 chance in the Golden Slipper market. Hasn't qualified yet. We'll ask Richard about that. The Event Cinemas quiz will be on too. Score update?
3-2. I'm in front.
You're in front. You had a loss last week. You weren't here. And we'll speak to Brad Rosen. He's going to give us an NBL and NBA update. Now, this is big news. Just before we get to Zorba. And look, I can hear him panting down the line after the $36 million was committed to Brookvale Oval.
Will they get it, Jim?
Oh, Raymond, don't tease him like that. You can't do that. This is big news. And, of course, UFC 234 today, the big fight on the card was Australia's very own Robert Whittaker, who is becoming somewhat of a star in UFC. He is out of that fight because of a hernia. So Kelvin Gastelum, and he were to fight, and this is big, big news. So that is disappointing for all UFC fight fans. That is literally just happened. He's out. Second time that he's happened, he's due to fight in his home country, and he's had to pull out on the eve of the event. So we'll keep you updated with that throughout the course of the morning. And we're also talking about the old blokes who are still getting it done, and the Sheilas. The old blokes and the Sheilas are still getting it done. We've had some interesting nominations, but on the back of Tom Brady at aged 41 years, winning his sixth Super Bowl ring. Time now to speak to, he's a legend of our program, and it's great to have him back on for season 2019. The footy's just around the corner. We've got our first game on Friday night. The Indigenous All-Stars up against the Maori All-Stars, and we're excited for the countdown to the season. Peter Peters joins us now. G'day, Zorb.
Morning, Jimmy. Morning, Ray. Yeah, it's 41 days to be exact to kick off in 2019. But as you said, next Friday night, there's going to be some expensive talent on show with the Maori All-Stars against the Indigenous All-Stars at Amy Park in Melbourne. But I presume and I know that a lot of fans and clubs indeed will be watching that game on the one hand with a lot of excitement because there's some wonderful talent on show, and on the other side of the coin, just hoping that their star players will get through. There's nothing worse than losing a player for a lengthy period of time at this time of the year, and that's unfortunately part and parcel of our great game. You've got to have trials. You can't just start straight into the competition. So we're going through that period, and we'll lead into what's going to be the trials, and then a week's break, and then we go at it with a Storm versus the Broncos game, which I think is intriguing to get things really started. The Broncos' new coach, Anthony Seibold, received the biggest cheer at the Broncos fan day yesterday. It seems as though Brisbane has no problems with getting over Wayne Bennett, who we've led to believe in Sydney over all these years that he is something of a demigod in Brisbane. But how fickle are sports fans? Bennett's been there virtually since they came into the premiership, but he seems to be well and truly forgotten now as they cry out for a new competition premiership, and Seabolt versus his mentor in Craig Bellamy first up will be intriguing.
He's hard not to like, though, isn't he, Anthony Seabolt? It's no wonder the Broncos fans have already taken to him. Question to you, Zorb and Jimmy, without notice. We're talking about trials there, Zorb. I was listening to an interview with Josh Jackson yesterday, and Canterbury are only having the one trial, and he prefers just to have the one trial. When you guys were playing, there was obviously a lot more trials. Did you like the trials experience? Was it necessary? Do you think the modern era, just having one or two trials is enough?
I hated them, but it was like always, like kissing your mother-in-law, like you just needed to get through it. But yeah, me, I needed all the games I could get before the start of the comp, and in the 60s and 70s when I played in the then New South Wales competition, really teams didn't get really going till May, June, and that's when the big prop forwards started to come into their own.
I think now the way that they are physically prepared and the amount of contact work that they now do at training, I think trials are becoming less and less necessary.
Josh Jackson made that point, that there's contact work every second or third day, particularly this time of the season. So
Canterbury aren't exactly the best example of how it should be done, though. I mean, they've gone from disaster to disaster in recent times, and I wouldn't be placing a lot of credence in that. I think there is a club side that needs as many games together as they can get.
Well, have a look at that. New fullback, essentially Kieran Foran and Lachlan Lewis, if they are the halves combination, they're the new halves combination, and they're probably still trying to find out who's going to be the hooker. Just on Canterbury, Dylan Napa, there's a lot of talk and more press talk and just about what should happen with Dylan Napa. What's your thoughts on it, Zor?
Well, my first thoughts are that Dylan needs to learn not to take his phone to bed for a start. And the rumours are rife in the game that more videos, up to three, are about to go public. So while opinions are divided on whether the NRL should impose a suspension or fine for something that occurred before he joined the club, I think that Dylan has just got to get his own personal life in order. And if he gets fined, then he's just got to wear it. I think it's gone on for too long. I think that the league need to step in now and say whether there's going to be a suspension or a fine or not. Let's not leave it until after the trials.
Well, do you think he should be suspended? So I look at that and think, what's he done wrong? Stupidity aside.
Yeah, well, stupidity is the word that I've got here. I agree that when people shut their doors to their homes or to their apartments, what goes on behind closed doors, as long as it's not against the law, is fine by me. But you can't have your high-profile players in the game having this sort of thing out there on social media. It's stupid, and he's got to pay the price for the stupidity that he's shown. Now, he's embarrassed, he says now. He's embarrassed his family, his game, his new club. Let's hope that that's the end of him having poor headlines, although looking at his record since he came to town, I think there's more to come.
Nah, fair enough. Hey, Zorb, will Manly finally get a stadium upgrade at Brookvale?
Well, been a lot of hue and cry about this. I mean, there's been money promised. There's been $12.5 million sitting there that Tony Abbott got, and that was just when he became Prime Minister. So that's a long time ago. I hope that money from the federal government is still there. But it's good news for the people of the peninsula. I think it's good news for suburban grounds in Sydney. There is a place for them all. I mean, I heard you mention Des Moines Oval earlier. I mean, what's gone on there in recent weeks has been fantastic. We've had women's AFL, albeit in stormy conditions on Friday night. We've had the women's Big Bash final. We've had some good sport in the suburbs, and people have taken to that and really enjoyed it. It's been part of Sydney for so long. We just need an upgrade, and Brookvale is one of those grounds that need an upgrade. And really, when you look at it, there's a rugby match featuring the New South Wales Waratahs against the Hurricanes. There's an A-League soccer game featuring Sydney FC. And there's the round two clash between Manly and the Premiers, the Roosters, that will all be played at Lotto Land, Brookvale, in quick succession over the next 6 weeks. So there is a place for these suburban grounds. We've got to make it more comfortable. I mean, you can put a saddle on the rats at Brookvale Oval under the grandstand. and it just needs to be knocked down, built again, and give the people of the Northern Beaches something that they've cried out for. They've been neglected like no other area because of all sections of government in the last couple of decades. Yeah. It's ridiculous, and it's about time it was fixed.
And the beauty of it is that it's easy to supply media outlets with plans of the development because they've been around for 30 years as well. Have you had to upgrade the plans every time you think you're going to get new funding?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had to upgrade the pest controllers too.
I would too if
and
you can put saddles on the rats.
The grandstand, let me tell you. It's long overdue.
Now, on a more serious note, and again we read today, very big week for Jared Hayne and Jack DeBellin.
Yeah, it's not good, is it? It's been a case of out of sight, out of mind for a little while, but it's always been that day of reckoning is coming. Well, it's here. For those two players, the NRL and the fans and the clubs will get a stark reminder of the off-season from hell when two of its biggest stars in Jared Hayne, who I think we've seen the last of, and Jack DeBellin front court this week facing charges involving sexual assault. In light of the Ben Barber banning, Hayne and DeBellin, they face months of serious issues, and it's not just all going to come from the courts. The NRL is awaiting the results here. Both cases will attract massive media scrutiny and will further damage the game's sagging public perception. Other high-profile players will follow Hayne and DeBellin into suits and in front of judges in the next few weeks. The case involving Dylan Walker is interesting. It was delayed because one of the witnesses had booked a family holiday to New Zealand, and that fan will be coming home and representing part of the police who have continued down the line of the charges in this issue. Now, the league is and the game is faced with situations where partners who are originally involved and alleging issues then have a look at what's going to happen to their lives and then withdraw any charges and won't give evidence. So that's always something that's been between prosecution and non-prosecution in recent years. And it's a problem that I don't think is going to go away. I mean, how do you look at facing a life of getting 50,000 upwards each month on the 15th of each month and then faced with nothing and no future? Very tough decisions all around in the courts and in the family homes where the troubles are indeed started.
It's a complex one, isn't it? And the thing about the Ben Barber, I think Ainsley Curry was not wanting to press charges or certainly pleaded with the Cowboys not to sack Ben Barber, but the evidence was overwhelming there. So
yeah, well, that's the situation that we've faced and spoken about many times over many years on this program. The number of players that have been actually found guilty of serious charges is minimalistic. But I don't know if there's such a word. I might have made that up. But they're very few and far between, but I think that's going to change.
Mm. Well, the problems with social media and CCTV footage, it's everywhere these days. Well, players need to be aware of it.
Is it a problem if it's providing evidence?
No, but what I'm saying is...
Without question.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is players need to be aware that... They're watched everywhere. It might not necessarily be themselves, but CCTV footage and...
Yeah, but if it does that... On the side of the players, there's been a lot of false charges made.
Oh,
I mean, the Brett Stewart thing was a farce. It could have been thrown out of court in 2 days. How it got to court, I think, is a blight on the police.
Well,
that was just ridiculous.
I'm going back to the point you make around social media and then the intrusion and CCTV footage. If it becomes a motivating factor for players and slash anyone to stop doing something or not do something, then that's good.
Absolute deterrent factor, 100%. And they should be more, they've got to be conscious of it.
Yeah.
Hey Zorb, Paul Gowan inspired our talk topic today about old blokes and women having a go. He's 37, he's a remarkable athlete, and I don't know what you thought of Friday night's fight, but Paul Gowan was just too good for John Hopewade.
Well, 2 weeks ago on this program, I said that it would be over. It wouldn't go three rounds. I mean, anyone that knew anything about boxing knew that would be the ultimate result. I mean, Hopper had his last pro fight 10 years ago and he was disqualified. What a surprise. Before that, he was knocked out. He's had 10 years of inactivity against a powerhouse puncher like Paul Gallen, fit as a Mallee Bull. And I want to say this. I thought Paul Gallen, he copped a lot of mouthing from Hoppawattie in the week leading up to the fight. Short, fat, slow, Hopper said about Gallen this week. Now, 19 years ago, Paul Gallen was 18. I remember Bob Fulton saying, there's a kid in the Parramatta Juniors we've got to get. He's as tough as teak. He's strong enough and driven enough to be a long-term NRL player. Well, 327 games later for the Cronulla Sharks, 24 for New South Wales and 32 for Australia, Fulton's eye for talent's been well and truly justified. There have been several times during Gallen's career that Fulton tried to get him over to Manly, but he's fiercely loyal, Paul Gallen, and I think he showed on Friday night in that mismatch against Hoppawattie that he was a caring and responsible person. He went easy on Hoppawattie when he had him done to a dinner. He pulled up on some of his punches when he saw Hopper heading for the canvas, face down. He could have easily put Hoppawattie in hospital on Friday night, but he went easy on him. He outclassed his opponent. He's all-class Gal, and I just think that that was a terrific gesture to a fellow human being. A lot of people wouldn't have done that. One of the mysteries of rugby league is that how Parramatta didn't earmark him all those years ago. He's played all of his football with the Sharks, and at 38 years of age to go around again this year, I think that's an unbelievable performance by Paul Gallen in the toughest body contact sport in the world, football code that is. I just think that he's been just an amazing performer. Love him or hate him, Cal, you've got to admire him.
Absolutely. Good on you, Zorb. We'll speak again next week.
Okay, boys.
There he is, Peter Peters, with his thoughts on the game of rugby league. 1353 53 is the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with Richard Litt, our China Doll feature racing interview of the day.
Don't forget, 9 a.m. Monday morning, Punters Postmortem with me, CK, the Duff, Dino and Glenn Munsey. A full wrap of a cracking Warwick Farm meeting with the baby stepping out in the $2 million English Millennium. And in Melbourne, it's the start of the Group 1 for the CF4 Stakes. Punters Postmortem, Monday morning.
Wideline Windows and Doors can help make your next build or home reno a success. Drop into any showroom and check out their extensive range of quality aluminium and timber designs, all backed by a 7-year guarantee. Any size, any shape, any space. Wideline's experts will help create the perfect frame for your view. There's never been a better time to take a closer look at Wideline Windows and Doors. Showrooms open at Port Macquarie, Broadmeadow, Tuggerah, Rosebery and Parramatta. Get behind Play for Purpose, Australia's new not-for-profit raffle. You could win big with $500,000 in prizes on offer in every raffle. Plus, $5 from every $10 ticket directly supports a local grassroots sporting club or charity of your choice. With Play for Purpose, it's a win-win. Tickets available online at playforpurpose.com.au. And please, play responsibly. New South Wales permit number GOCAU/2086.
But here is a horse who is really in the zone. Tiger Tara has taken the mantle of the best pacer in the Southern Hemisphere, and he does it again. The King of Melton, Tiger Tara, wins by 10.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Mate, it's awful to watch.
Yeah, it is. I know, Ray. The light's back on, so here we go. Having your own thoughts here. And by the way, some of them are going to air when the light goes on. 1353 53 is the open line number. By the way, we've got to, we'll speak to Richard Litt very shortly, but let's go back to the open line because there are people there wanting to have their say. G'day, Bob.
Morning, fellas.
Morning, Bob.
The three little things. The first and most importantly, thank you for the carton of Wingman.
Oh, how'd you enjoy it?
Well, I'm not a big beer drinker, but it is the sweetest, loveliest beer I've ever tasted.
Oh, there you go.
Clip that up and well send it down to the producers.
It was absolutely wonderful, and it really has a very pleasant taste. And as I said, I'm not a big beer drinker, but I want to make a nomination. I've got a question on racing for this as well.
Go for it.
Nomination has to be Robert Thompson.
Yeah.
He's over 60 now. He's a local from Chestnut, where I live. And he, out of his last 50 rides, I think he's had 17 or 18 in the money, either winners or places.
He's a remarkable jockey and one of nature's true gentlemen, too. Bobby.
Lovely bloke,
he's
isn't
a terrific fellow, Robert Thompson.
He gave me a parking spot the other day, so he's a good guy.
Yeah.
Now, the last question I have for you is, if they happen to find a substance during all of the searching that's going on, a synthetic substance, will they then retro-check every swab that they're holding from all the other traders to make sure it hasn't been in widespread?
It's a really good question, Bob, and a lot of people are asking that. There are frozen samples of...
Prince of Penzance?
No doubt, yeah. And they are stored for some years. So if there is anything untoward and that can be tested for in time, they'll be found.
Who ran second to Prince of Penzance? Would they ever do a... for it happens in the Olympics, for example, where people get stripped of gold medals and whoever came second. Who was the Australian walker that was promoted to a gold medal, and it was...
Jared
was
Talent,
it 4 years after?
Yeah, it was Talent.
Jared Talent, yeah.
Max Dynamite ran second. That was the infamous Frankie Dettori ride.
Knocked down every second horse in the race, yeah.
So, look, it's a Pandora's box legally, but certainly if there's evidence of a positive swab in a frozen sample down the track, and it's tested and it's found, rest assured that horse will lose the race.
Very good call, Bob. Appreciate that. Let's stay with the open line. Derek is there. G'day, Derek.
Yeah, g'day, guys. Just it's always good listening to Peter Peters. I think he's one of the more refreshing journalists or commentators going around still.
He's always got an opinion, hasn't he, Derek?
Yeah, but I think that's what people are looking for. Like, if you talk about rugby league, you know, many will suggest that it's great that it's still in the headlines, but surely that's waning for the actual masses now. Like the conversation, Andrew Webster's article on, I think it was Thursday or Friday, highlighting the fact that the NRL seemed to take a strong sword to certain things and nearly no sword to the others, is pretty much what nearly everyone on the street's saying. Like, how can, and on there's no team alliance here with regards to South or Canterbury. The Canterbury have signed a player, obviously Ben Barber's sacked, no or deregistered, no issue at all. The guy's had too many chances. But Dylan Napa, six or a few offences at a different club, by finding him, completely understand, but imposing a six-match penalty, whereas Greg Inglis has driven how far above the speed limit and above the approved alcohol reading, yet nothing. The Sam Burgess incident with other players late last year, how is that any different at all to Napa? Some would actually even say it's to be worse. I don't think the NRL has got the leadership is... Well, to say that it's weak would be an understatement, I would dare say at the moment. If you guys, I mean, I know it's sometimes hard to criticise the biggest leaders in the game, but it seems like the mainstream media and I'm really not listening to what most people, the pub test or the social test is saying.
I think it'd be fascinating to see what happens with the Napa situation and whether there is a suspension. If there is a suspension, I think the Rugby League Players Association will become heavily involved in that. I'm just trying to work out what he did that was illegal. And you make the point about Greg Inglis, and he was stripped of the Australian captaincy. So obviously that's very significant. However, he's putting his own and other lives in danger. Dylan Napa never did that.
No, it was consensual, wasn't it?
Yes.
I think you're right. Like, if they wanted to put in like a blanket rule that says from now this is the course of action and what will happen, I understand that. And to be fair, that's probably not the worst idea because there's a blanket rule and it would be applicable to all players. But if you're going to start cherry picking now and not looking back less than 3 or 4 months, especially one that can result in a criminal charge being recorded against you, I think that's a really, really dangerous game. And especially when they want to go to the bargaining table again for big deals with TV networks and still don't offer up players for proper interviews and content, I think they're going to find a really big battle on their hands at Rugby League with taking that a bit further.
Yeah, really good call, Derek. Consistency factor, and this is from a fan, the consistency factor, as he said, the pub test, it doesn't pass at the moment, does it?
I appreciate about doing blanket... policy, but you can't, because something will come out and you'll go, that is a completely
different situation.
100%. So case-by-case basis, but you can apply consistency
and
across a multitude of different...
Derek's key point, I thought.
Good call,
well
Derek.
Made.
Appreciate that. So thanks for that. Time now, though, Roman, for the feature racing interview, brought to you by China Doll. The award-winning restaurant located at the historic Finger Wharf at Woolloomooloo takes creative dining in Sydney to another level.
It is outstanding. I'm not sure if Richard's ever been to China Doll, but he can certainly afford to go now after winning the English Millennium yesterday. He's been good enough to join us. Richard, good morning. And, well, firstly, congratulations with Castelvecchio's win yesterday. Have had a chance to watch the replay because, as I said to Jimmy earlier, it was a stunning win by that two-year-old.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, guys. And no, it was an awesome day. And I've looked back on the video a couple of times now. It's hard to believe.
Yeah. Is it standard race pattern for Castelvecchio?
It is at the moment. he definitely needs to get back and relax. You know, we don't want to fire him up too much. But he's sort of the type of the horse that's always on edge a little bit anyway. So we definitely need to drop him out and look after him a bit early on in his races so he doesn't overdo it.
How did you find out, or when do you start understanding that, okay, this Dundeal colt is actually a sprinter?
Well, you know, I wouldn't even say he is a sprinter. I just think at this stage he's just so brilliant, you know, and got a lot of natural ability. I think he's definitely going to get over ground, you know, mile 2,000 even further.
Mm. The most exciting thing for me, Richard, is that what he did yesterday obviously was there for everyone to see, but he is a horse, as you said, who's bred to get over further. And Josh Parr spoke to me after the race, and I loved his quote. He said, "Ignorance is bliss with this horse. He is so blasé about everything." And the point he was trying to make, Richard, is this horse has so much to learn. He doesn't know how to race yet.
Yeah, like he's very much like that at home. He just goes through the motions every day, and he's a very, very relaxed customer at home. And even his final piece of work on Tuesday on the course over at Warwick Farm, he barely broke 15 in his last furlong, you know, and you just sort of let him do it. He's lightly framed, so we don't have to overwork him, which is a huge positive too.
Mm-hmm. How'd you get him?
Octavio Galletta brought him off Arrowfield, and Octavio hadn't bought for a long time at the sales, and he really liked this colt. There was a few that he looked at, but this is his favourite. So we were training for him, obviously, for a couple of years now, so he bought him for us.
Golden Slipper, the first question you were asked yesterday, Richard, and I'll explain to Jimmy, this race doesn't count towards Golden Slipper qualification in terms of prize money. Have you had a think about it overnight? What are your plans going forward with Castelvecchio?
We're going to let the dust settle. Octavio had a little talk about it last night, and I'm unsure what he decided, but I think he might race in the Skyline, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the Skyline and then maybe the Silver? But, nothing's set really in stone yet. But we'll just see how he is in the next couple of days. I believe he'd be better over a bit of distance. And I'd have to, I'd hate to rush into a slipper because, you know, obviously two-year-olds are very, very fragile. And I do believe the horse will be a lot better three-year-olds. So, you know, they're very patient owners and they're very, very understanding and they've had horses for a long time. So I'm sure they'll make the right decisions with them anyway.
I'm going to ask a silly question, Richard. You checked on the horse this morning?
Yeah, I have.
How is he?
Good. He's pulled up good. He's taken it all in his stride. And, you know, believe it or not, he ate all his dinner and he's almost finished his breakfast already as well. So, he's very, very well.
How about the trainer? Have you had a chance to soak all that in yesterday, Richard? It's been said it's life-changing, isn't it, in a lot of respects?
Well, it is. You know, we're such a small stable, and to have an opportunity to even train a horse worth $150,000, let alone get him to a $2 million race, let alone win it, is absolutely incredible. And, you know, I'm just the front person, you know, getting all the glory for it, really, but I've just got a wonderful team behind me. My staff, and I've been very, very loyal over the years, and honestly, a Mudgee win for us is huge, you know, so this is next level, and it's a great thanks to them, and, you know, all our owners that have supported us along the way.
Gee, you've learnt quickly, Richard. You sound more like Chris Waller than Chris Waller with thanking the team and all that sort of thing.
I'm not crying. I'm not bawling the eyes out, but it's critical, honestly. Staff and the support, and it's amazing because we couldn't do it without support, and I think sometimes people forget that. You know, the staff were here at 10 to 4 this morning and it was business as usual, and I really appreciate everyone's help and their support.
How'd you get into the racing game, Richard? In the family?
It's always been in the family. My grandfather was a trainer.
and then Dad trained, and we've always had horses in New Zealand with different trainers, and you know, we had a lot of background show jumping and events, and then I come over and work for Graham Rogerson, and I loved working for Graham. We learnt a lot. Yeah, it sort of went from there.
Did it translate into a couple of purchases last night, the sales, or hopefully some new owners for you, Richard?
Oh, well, we haven't purchased anything yet, but we'll be looking, and we'd probably buy one. We obviously don't buy one for big money, but we would love, some new owners at the stable, and it would be fantastic, you know, for people to entrust me with their horses, you know. It could be a good changer for us in the racing industry.
Ah, fantastic. Really exciting, Richard. Congratulations on the win. That's fantastic. Castelvecchio, who be a horse that so many people will start to follow now, and let's hope, well, from our point of view, that he gets a run in the Golden Slipper. That's a great story waiting to happen. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thanks, Richard.
Richard Litt, trainer there at Castelvecchio. Great win yesterday in the English Millennium, and he is our China Doll feature interview of the morning. Great to have him on the program. Hey, we're going to go to a break, Rome. Oh, just before we go, talking about our old blokes and Sheila's still doing it. Morning, Jimmy and Ray. Don't know if he's already been nominated. Jeff Lloyd is an amazing jockey for his age, still mixing with the best, EJ.
And after the health issues he's had,
yes.
And he's come back and still dominates Brisbane racing. So, and Cyril Small had a couple of mentions. He rode the great Vaux Rogue in the late 80s. And
oh,
Cyril
yes.
Small would be, I think he'd be in his early 60s now.
Vaux Rogue was a three-time winner of the CFO.
Champion, absolute champion.
Matt Carter was a three-time winner as well. So there you go. 1353 53, the open line number. Listening to Andrew Martin talk yesterday about Hall of Fame runners.
Is that me or Marto you talk?
That's Marto doing you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Look, we've got to go to a break, Raymond. Call now on 1353 53 if you'd like to play a part of the Event Cinemas quiz. Prakash and the team back on board.
Outstanding.
For 2019, so we're all excited about that. Yes. So call now. Score update on that one. Raymond with the slight lead, 3-2. Call now if you want to be a part of the quiz.
Punters, we bet you. You can't find a better betting app than the Tab app. With more live Sky Racing than any other app, exclusive race previews and the biggest range of race replays on offer, you have everything you need to give you the best betting experience all in the palm of your hand. Plus, enjoy access to detailed form, cutting-edge data and expert analysis from the best in the business. Download the Tab app today and stay ahead of the game. Tab. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
The catalogue for the 2019 Melbourne Premier Yearling Sale is out now. 786 yearlings on offer from March 3 to 6 at a renovated Oaklands Junction. A new look venue, the same English passion. Catalogue available at english.com.au.
Gum will send this inside 50 into the dangerous spot as well. At the back, beautifully read by Bonner. And she goes in and kicks a goal for the GWS Giants.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
We had it last week, Raymond. There was an SMS that came in and said, you won't read this out, but basically it was AFLW and the Emperor's New Clothes and the parallels.
Oh, okay. Did you read it out?
Oh, of course we did. What do you think? Put anything on the SMS here, we'll read it out. Within reason.
Very careful what you say.
1353, the open line number. Event Cinemas live from February 10th. This is the producer of Avatar and Titanic. James Cameron is back with the leader, Battle Angel. Release Valentine's Day, Raymond. So this is one for you and Tanya. See it at VMAX 3D at Event Cinemas. Head to eventcinemas.com.au to grab your tickets now. Didn't really need to read that top bit out, but anyway, I did. Who put the question mark on the teleprompter is what comes to mind there. Raymond, you one or two here? We haven't decided that.
You can call a
shot. All right, you go one.
Okay, all right. We've got Dave on the line. Dave, good morning.
How are you guys?
Terrific, Dave. How you know the drill, mate?
Roughly.
Okay, here we go. Question
Where
number
you been, Dave?
Question number one, Dave.
Depends on. Oh, well, I had a few last night, so everything's a bit rough at the moment.
hang on, you're at Nowra. You weren't with Rod, were you?
No.
Just at home, were you, Dave?
Just at home.
That's the way. A couple of quiet. What's the beer of choice, Dave?
Oh, it's actually Great Northern.
Wrong answer, Dave. Wingman was the correct answer, so I'm afraid you're none from one.
Nah, this is question number one. Here we go, Dave. Question number one. Which team lost Super Bowl 53?
The Rams.
That's good enough. Los Angeles Rams. Well,
that's good enough. Of course it is. Yeah, quick, get the tick in.
Absolutely. Question number two, Dave. How many games have the Western Sydney Wanderers won in this season's A-League competition? It's multiple choice, Dave. A, is it 3, B, 4, C, 6?
3.
Yes, had a win last yesterday, I think, 2-0. So
that's a silly question, because A is 3, B, 4, so you're going up by 1. And then you go 6.
Great question.
Yeah, absolutely. Dave got it right, so it's a great question. Here we go. This is the clean sweep, Dave. Which team finished 4th on the 2018 NRL table? A, was it Storm? B, the Rabbitohs? C, Sharks?
Sorry, give it to me again.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, which team finished 4th on the 2018 NRL table? A, was it Storm?
Oh, it would have been the Rabbitohs.
No, it was the Sharks. That's okay. Still, 2's a good score, Dave. Stay on the line, mate. Over to you, James.
Thank you, Raymond. G'day, Paul.
G'day, guys. How's it going?
Yeah.
Good morning, Paul.
Really well. You know the drill?
Yeah, mate, sure do.
All right, here we go.
Good luck, Paul.
Question 1. He doesn't mean that.
He's a hard man, isn't Paul?
Just honest. Name one of the two teams playing in the opening match of the 2019 NRL season.
It is between... Brisbane and Melbourne.
Well, you've named both.
Oh,
so
well done.
Double bonus point?
Yeah. No,
no.
No,
right,
one,
fair enough.
One.
Broncos, I'll tell you what, you'd have a good guess at the Broncos.
get the first game,
couldn't you? Question 2. Which Australian scored the most runs during the recent Test series against India? Was it A, Travis Head, B, Sean Marsh, or C, Marcus Harris?
I say Travis Head.
Got runs against Sri Lanka, yeah. Marcus Harris.
Marcus Harris got a start every test pretty much,
yeah,
didn't
he? Yeah,
he
did. I don't like the way he's been getting out of late.
He's hitting it to point. Yeah, it's sort of
bad shot. Our thoughts on it. Bit of editorial during the course of the quiz. Righto, Paul. Question 3. Important question, this one.
Yep.
Which stadium will host... Fair dinkum.
This is a tough one.
Which stadium will host the 2021, that's right, the 2021 Rugby League World Cup opening ceremony? Is it A, Old Trafford, B, Ellen Road, or C, St James Park?
Oh, God. I'll say St James Park.
Oh, baby. Unbelievable.
Literally.
The Newcastle Magpies, home ground. How good is that? That's the hardest question we've ever had here.
Still in the game, Paul.
Paul, tiebreaker. Tiebreaker.
Yep.
How many sixes have the Sydney Sixers hit during this year's BBL competition? The answer is between 1 and 100.
I'll say 92.
92, okay, that's your answer. All right. Let's go back to your man, Dave.
Hey, Dave, you on the line still? Dave, you there?
Yeah.
Okay, Dave, we're in a tie-break situation, mate, so here we go. How many sixes have the Sydney Sixers hit during this year's BBL competition? The answer is between 1 and 100.
I would say 27.
That's close enough, Dave. Congratulations, mate. The answer was actually 40. Paul said 92, so 27 gets you over the line. Well done, Dave.
Thanks very much, guys.
What's Dave win again, James?
Where are you, Dave? Nowra?
Nowra.
Okay, yeah. Where's the nearest event cinemas down there? Shell Harbour.
Okay.
Yeah, perfect. All right, mate. We'll send you out a double pass courtesy of Event Cinemas at George Street. And remember, there's a great movie coming out for Valentine's Day, Alita, Battle Angel, which I'm sure no one that's our demographic that's listening will go and watch. 1353 53 is the open line number. We'll take a break now, and after the break, well, Ray.
He's a sponsor of this show, a long-time sponsor.
Mate, last week they were advertising the Super Bowl, and I'm like, right in our wheelhouse. Fine. Alita, Battle Angel.
It could be a family movie, you never know.
1353 53 the open line number. Brad Rosen up next.
Bradman, Freeman, Labour, Thorpe, Wings. Witness sporting immortality at the Star Chinese Festival of Racing at Royal Randwick this Saturday. Be trackside as stakes racing in the world's best horse, Wings. Return to Royal Randwick for the Star Apollo Stakes. Don't miss an exciting day of racing, hospitality and Lunar New Year entertainment. Advance tickets from $12. Book now at theraces.com.au.
Get behind Play for Purpose, Australia's new not-for-profit raffle, raising funds for charities and local sporting clubs. There are thousands of prizes to be won, all while supporting a good cause. Tickets just $10 at playforpurpose.com.au. And please, play responsibly. New South Wales permit number GOCOU/2086.
My ability to shoot the three is such a weapon.
Davis floats it in. He has 22 in the first half.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. 1353 53 is the open line number. Looking to catch up with Brad Rosen very shortly. And we're all excited as Sydney Kings fans following that great victory on Friday night. Were you there front and centre?
No, we were watching it. And, gee, they played well. You can't keep insinuating this, James. We pay our way.
I'm not insinuating. I'm saying it overtly. I'm not skirting around the situation. You and Tanya have the purple carpet rolled out for you every time you turn up to a Kings game, except that time where you knew you were under scrutiny and you had to pay for them. Heavily
scrutinised. Tanya's saying we pay for them all the time.
1353 53, the open line number. Morning, gentlemen. Just before we go to callers, sports people going on at an age. I have three. Robert Thompson, we've had him mentioned a number of times. Jack Thompson rode winners to a ripe old age.
He did, yeah. He was in his 60s, Jack. Mm-hmm.
And Alfie Langer, still playing for the Broncos as a fifth reserve. Happy days from Bowie.
And Dave from Wattlegrove.
Oh, yeah.
Boys, old blokes doing well. Moi, marrying Tanya. She didn't come to a senses still.
Right. It's a very good point, Dave from Wattlegrove.
Dave
well
goes,
spotted.
You're putting Dave down your potential winners?
No, I'm just pretending to. So there you go. Let's go to the open line. Okay. Doug is on the line. G'day, Dougie.
G'day, Jimmy. G'day, Ray. How are you?
Yeah, good
really
morning,
well,
Doug.
Mate.
Not bad, thanks, champion.
That's
I just want to talk about Rob Denham with a contract with South Sydney.
Yeah, Robert Jennings, yes.
And I hope he stays there anyway. Could go to Penrith, I hope.
Well... You can afford him or you can't, you know. Like, he can fit under the salary cap or he can't. If Robert Jennings stays or if Robert Jennings goes, and this is with due respect to Robert Jennings, it's not going to change the betting markets. It's not going to change my thoughts on whether South Sydney... Like, he plays in the left wing,
he's
on the left
finisher.
Wing.
Yeah.
Well, he plays on the left wing. Of the tries he scored last year, and I think he nearly scored 20, he might have scored 19 or whatever it was, and the tries he scored, Ray could have scored 15 of them. What I'm saying is you could put a $100,000 winger there and they'd still do that try-scoring part of the job. There's a lot of other parts of a job that, you know, Robert Jennings does pretty well, and starting sets is a really important part of the game these days, but that's the point I'm making.
And what else I was going to say is Clippy Lyons was an old player who used to play for me.
Yeah. I reckon he was 37
How old was Beaver? Menzies?
Well...
Was he 40?
Think he nearly got to 40.
Yeah, Steve Menzies.
Yeah.
I'll check that.
How's that feel?
Mate, Doug,
you're flying, Doug.
You've absolutely nailed it this morning.
I've been the longest caller on this station ever.
Well, I don't know about the longest. I'll tell you what, you're one of our favourites. I know, Doug.
And very regular.
Yeah, yeah. No, good nominations there, mate. We do appreciate it. So 1353 53 is the open line number. Now... This we get from Don from Carlton, which I'm going to go to a little bit later. It's a little bit lengthy. It's about the state election and Gladys Berejiklian and Brookvale Oval. We'll get to that very shortly. But right now, time to talk some basketball. Oh, if you're a Sydney Kings fan, everyone's up and about, especially this man, Brad Rosen. Morning, Brad.
Good morning, boys. How are we?
Yeah, we're well. How significant is it after the long run of outs against Melbourne United? How significant is it to break the duck and probably to confirm to yourself, as much as anyone, that you are a championship quality side?
Yeah, huge. Massive win, mentally, physically, the whole thing. That's just such a big win. I was lucky enough to call the game. It was outstanding. Mm. And you look at the way they play. They just needed that for themselves. And it's like you said, when you've got a hoodoo, it was 10 games in a row that they hadn't beaten Melbourne. And just to be able to have that now and know, right, we've got them 2 weeks out from playoffs is great. And then the next thing is they want to get one or two. If you finish in the top two, you get home court advantage for the first round. Mm. So there's probably two, you know, massive, really, reasons to win that game, and they did it well.
Exactly. One of the games of the season two, Brad, and I was listening to your call, and it was super exciting. The offense of both sides was fantastic. But again, Andrew Bogut and his defense, particularly his rebounding, how he's just so vital, isn't he?
Oh, he is. Look, and you know, we thought he was going to be good when he announced that he'd come back to the NBL, and you think to yourself, look, the guy's not going to score 30 and 20 every game, but he'll be really good. He's been that plus.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. He's just been so much more than that. His presence, his aura, he's changed about 50 shots a game. Like, every time someone now goes to the basket, they know he's there. So he changed the shots, changed their offense, and look, he's just been phenomenal. And we were speaking on air, and I'll tell you, you know, right now I think it's a two-horse race for the MVP, and I think it would be between Andrew Bogut and Casper Ware. I think Bryce Cotton maybe was up there, but I don't think now, personally. And, mate, it's daylight for me. Andrew Bogut, MVP.
And he at least gets Defensive Player of the Year, doesn't he? Sure.
Oh, geez, I tell you, that's a lock.
Yeah,
mate,
absolutely.
Just give it to him now. Don't even have the award.
Exactly, yeah. Well, as important as Friday night was winning against Melbourne, the Kings travel to Perth today. This is another massive game.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because they beat Perth last time over there. So it's a game they can win. When you look at the weekend and you say, right, you're going to have a home away against the top two teams in the league, you'd be happy to split it, and they've beaten Melbourne. But at this stage, it's a huge win because I think their percentage is not great, Sydney, so if they lose this, I think they're going to struggle to get the top two. So, and I'm not saying they won't get the top two. They'll struggle to get the top two because their percentage is a lot worse. So I think they need this win, and mentally, if they can get this win, oh, my God, it's massive.
Mm.
So it's going to be so huge, but I tell you, it's going to be hard over there in front of 13,000 Red Army nuts. They're crazy over there, man. They grow six people over there. It's unbelievable, that thing. So that's going to be a tough one. But go those Kings.
Mm. Do we say goodbye to Illawarra for the season? They lost to New Zealand 96-81 last night.
I love the Hawkeys. I said goodbye to them about 10 weeks ago.
Oh, right, okay.
You knew they weren't going to get there. Look, they hung on as long as they could. Respect to them. Their team was just, you know, not as talented as the others.
Yeah.
You know, I'm such a massive fan of Rob Beveridge. I think he's, you know, one of the best, if not the best coach in the league. The way he coaches and gets his teams going. So, for me, you know, I think they can be proud of what they did. But, of course, they didn't make the playoffs. So, yeah, they're done.
Well, it is a super Sunday in one respect. One plays two, Sydney versus Perth. Three plays four, Melbourne versus Adelaide.
I know. Mm. This is great. And, well, it's all about the fourth spot now, obviously. One, two and three are locked in, in no order at the moment. But Adelaide, they look like they're going to get fourth spot here because Brisbane lost against Cairns yesterday.
Mm.
They've lost to Cairns three times in one season.
It's
I think Cairns
them.
Have won five games.
That's it, yeah.
Sorry. So that has cost them their season, and that's a huge loss to Brisbane. That they had a good enough team, and that's a bad season for them not to make the playoffs. But there's still a chance. Adelaide need to lose the rest of their game and Brisbane win their last game. And they're a chance, but yeah, don't like it.
$1.95 Adelaide, Melbourne, $1.85.
Yeah, I'm going for an upset of Adelaide to win.
Adelaide to win, and Perth, $1.65, Kings, $2.25.
Go those Kings
at $2.25, all over the $2.25. Let's go to the NBA. Was Ben Simmons in trade talks? Did the name get thrown up there a little bit?
Look, there is always whispers, and I mean, to me, absolutely no way you would trade that guy. I can't believe it. I would never, ever believe that. I don't care what you're getting for him, you wouldn't, because the guy is unbelievable. Rookie of the year. He's only been there two seasons, even though it was three seasons because he had to sit out his first one with an injury.
Yep.
So it's two seasons he's been there. It is. You just don't know where this kid's going to go and what he can get to and what his ceiling is. If anyone is trading him, if I was a general manager, I would sack that coach if they're thinking of trading him.
Yeah. Now, finally, there's been a bit of talent go from the west to the east, right? Because there's been an imbalance for a long time about just where the strong teams are.
Oh, yeah, there's massive.
Yeah.
So you look at it, and I mean, let's put it straight out there. The west are dominating.
Mm. Yes.
They are massive. They've got, you know, pretty much the best players in the league. But the East, they're coming good, man. I mean, they've got Toronto, who's playing really well, and Boston are stacked. And, you know, you've got these teams that are playing really, really well. But I still can't see it. I just still can't see it. There's no way that anyone is as good as the West.
Yeah. All right, mate, give us one today for the Kings.
Well, mate, you know they're going to come on today. You know they're going over there to the west to take over that red Artie. Go, those Kings!
Good on you, Bradley. We'll speak shortly.
See you, boys.
See you, Brad.
Former Kings captain Brad Rosen, his thoughts
his
in the world of basketball. He loves his Sydney Kings. Just before we go to the break, and after the break, we'll have our legend of the game, which we're excited about, GD McGrath. Until this morning, I had absolutely no interest in the upcoming state election. Fair to say, I almost swallowed the ice in my Sunday morning scotch when I read that Gladys Berejiklian promised $20 million toward the refurbishment of Brookvale Oval. I have a better idea for Gladys. Get the guys who burnt down Cumberland Oval Grandstand in 1981 out of retirement to burn the joint down. I'm sure they would do it for a couple of slabs of beer and a couple of $100 for some top-notch fire accelerant. The Sooner Manly have no home ground and are going on bended knee to Greg Florimo to become the Central Coast Bears, the better for all league fans. And by the way, Gladys, I now know who I'm voting for, Don from Carlton.
He can fire up, Don, can't he? Got an interesting take on the whole situation.
Just before we go to this news break, second question in our China Doll long-time listener award, and that is, what animal did Zorba say you could put saddles on at Brookvale Oval? What animal did Zorba say you could put saddles on at Brookvale Oval? I think he was excited about it. I think he was sitting there with